and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show, and this is not Stephanie Miller.
Obviously not.
Yeah.
She's put on about 900 pounds of muscle, apparently.
Well, almost. This is Chris Lavoie and Jim Ward. We are the Mooks, and we are filling in for Stephanie today.
And Chris, the control freak, has no control over anything right now.
Oh, my God.
It's insane.
Oh, I'm using Stephanie's box, too. I can't find the screen. Oh, no. How about this?
There we go. Wow.
There we go. And this is the Stephanie Miller Show. You are listening to it. Give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. We would love to talk to you. We will take all of your calls, and we will have some fun today. And we also have our usual Fridays with Fugelsang.
With Fugelsang.
Good morning, gentlemen. Greetings from the New York City Bureau.
Good morning, John Fugelsang.
How's the problem with that?
Right. Welcome to Frosty Times Square. Or Frothy, if you're Rick Santorum.
Well, there you go. And you are, right after the show today, you are flying down to Fort Lauderdale. Is that correct?
I am. We are having the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Tours Florida debut tomorrow at the Parker Playhouse in beautiful Fort Lauderdale. So I'm flying to Miami, and I am here to announce that I've just been informed by Roland, our tour director, that one row of VIP meet and greet tickets has just been released on sale to the general public. The show itself is almost sold out. There's only a few little scattered seats left in the entire playhouse, but there's a new VIP meet and greet row available, and you can get close enough to legally be Stephanie Miller's GYN if you act now.
All right. So just go to sexyliberal.com, and the links are right there, correct?
Yes, or go to the Parker Playhouse box office if you're down there, if you want to avoid all them fees.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So why don't we go ahead and play the promo for Fort Lauderdale, Tony, just to give people a taste of what they can expect tomorrow night.
Let's hear it.
Recount your blessings, Sunshine State.
Oh, you can almost taste the sunshine.
Because Stephanie Miller is coming to South Florida.
What? Is she finally moving to the villages?
No. The state with the least popular governor is welcoming this year's most popular comedy tour, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show. And it's gonna be hot.
How hot and wet would you like it?
Very hot.
Oh, it's too hot.
On December 10th, the Broward Center's Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale will host the Sexy Liberal Players, led by progressive beach babe, Stephanie Miller.
The exotic dancer under the name of Marie, the Flame of Florida.
Tickets are available at browardcenter.org or by calling 877-311-SHOW. That's 877-311-7469. South Florida, spring break is coming early this season, and the forecast calls for Cat 5 Sexy Liberal Laughter.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah. You know what? You guys picked the right time of year to go to Fort Lauderdale.
Why is that?
Oh, well, because August, I hear, it's kind of dreadful.
It's not 120 degrees. 90%
There's never a bad time to go to Fort Lauderdale. I'm excited about it, too. We've been getting so many requests to go to Florida for so long, and this is one of the shows that happened because a Facebook page went up there demanding that we bring the show.
That's
so
right. We used to. We don't have an affiliate there anymore, but we used to. But we still have the demand for Stephanie Miller's Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour. So
It's pretty exciting. But so I'm thrilled about it. It's going to be really great to be able to go and do all those Governor Rick Scott jokes, and I believe I will be telling the story on stage of how I met Rick Scott earlier this fall at a Fox News taping at the Villages. Yes.
Oh.
So it's going to Rick Scott will not be spared.
Was this one of those green room horror stories that you had down there?
Yes, it was.
Oh God.
And he was delightful.
And who else was in the green? You were in the green room with Ollie North, weren't you?
Oliver North, Michelle Malkin, Dana Perino, Rick Scott, and the band Foreigner. So that's just the cast of characters, and it was a merry day.
Did the viewers of Fox and Freaks know what Foreigner was?
Well, that was the really funny thing about it was, you know, number one, it's not really Foreigner. I mean, I don't mean to offend these guys. They're very capable musicians. But, you know, these guys were in junior high when Lou Gramm was singing I Want to Know What Love Is on the radio. You know, it's like yeah. You have ELO 2 or you'll have, like, you know, Creedence Clearwater Revisited.
Right.
You'll have these, like, bands where the original, you know, bass player's tech is playing lead guitar and they're saying the same thing. And then they'll have a bunch of I wouldn't call them scabs. They're talented professionals. But they play a lot of state fairs. So this is Foreigner. And I was psyched because, you know, it's like, you know, Foreigner. Mick Jones is still there, not the guy from The Clash, the other Mick Jones.
The other Mick Jones. Right.
Who produced the last good Billy Joel album, so as a Long Islander, I care about that. And so I was excited, but Mick Jones was having a back pain or gout or something that day, so he didn't show up. So it was just all these guys that were, like, in their mid to late 40s, and no one seemed to understand that, you know, Foreigner had... These guys were, like, you know,
they were actual foreigners.
Sixth grade, but yeah. Well,
yeah.
The funniest thing is they're all on stage. They're on stage and they're singing "I Want to Know What Love Is," and it's just these guys that were never in the original Foreigner, and everyone's cheering. And I turn to the green room and I'm like, "Am I the only one who finds it funny that an entire Fox News audience is cheering a band called Foreigner?"
Yeah.
And they just stare at me.
They're
Rick
from
Scott,
Becky, Ben, Beck, Stan.
They just stare at me like I had just peed on a Torah. So
of course,
it was, another awkward moment for me in my long history with Fox News.
Oh, and I can't believe you have a history with Fox News. That is awesome.
Listen, I'll go anywhere that invites me.
I
love going. I got a lot of lefty friends who won't go there out of principle. I'm like, dude, if I can go on Fox News and you know, crack some jokes and slip some truth in there, they invited me on to talk about Occupy Wall Street once, and after that they didn't have me back because I was saying it, because I said what they don't want to hear, and I said the worst nightmare of the 1% is that the Fox News audience is going to realize that Occupy Wall Street speaks for them a lot better than John Boehner.
Gotta go to commercial!
Yep.
Yeah, they don't like having liberals on who will challenge them. They like liberals who cower, I've noticed.
Well, and who get into fights, which
right.
I won't do, you know? It's like, I like conservative people. I don't like who they vote for, but I like conservative people. I'm not here to make enemies, so it's the best thing you can do on Fox is go in there armed with jokes, but, you know, you just got to know, when you go on Fox, you're going to be getting lots of hate mail, and lots of hate mail with lots of spelling errors.
Well, the last time Stephanie was on Fox News, we got that infamous sock hate mail, where he threatened to shove an AK-47 up her glory hole.
Well,
I'm not sure who
that's
knows
because
what that
he's
means.
A patriot. He's a classy patriot.
No, if you're a patriot, he'd use an American rifle.
Yeah, because that's a Russian-made rifle.
Then he's just a good Christian.
Well, the biggest story in the news yesterday for me was President Obama's smackdown of Mitt Romney. Did you happen to hear that?
It was beautiful.
Yeah, yesterday Mitt Romney at the Republican Jewish Coalition Forum lambasted Obama for adopting a foreign policy of appeasement that, quote, betrays a lack of faith in America.
Yeah.
And in fairness, I was furious when Obama turned Czechoslovakia over to Al-Qaeda.
And then President Obama came out and said this.
Ask Osama bin Laden and the 22 out of 30 top Al-Qaeda leaders who've been taken off the field. Whether I engage in appeasement or whoever's left out there, ask them about that.
Snap.
Yeah.
Suck it.
Yeah. How awesome was that?
Well, it was beautiful. And again, you know, to me, it's just absurd. And a lot, even my conservative Jewish friends will talk about this. Barack Obama, on September 20th of this year, went to the UN and argued against recognizing Palestinian statehood. Now, the official position of this administration is that Palestine should be recognized as an independent state. That was the position of the Bush presidency as well.
Right.
But Obama went to the UN and argued against the UN recognizing Palestinian statehood. Abbas was there. He looked shocked and crushed.
Mm-hmm.
Netanyahu was kissy face all over Obama for a week. And, if, of course, if you watch Fox News, you wouldn't know this. And
right.
So Mitt Romney calls this appeasement. Obama's doing much better with the Jews than they think. And, you know, there's plenty of Jewish folks who are really, really happy with Barack Obama.
Absolutely. You know, it's only the far-right crazy Jewish community that's upset with him, like Pam Geller.
The people who love
Israel. Noted racist Pam Geller.
Yeah, and they only love Israel because God has to destroy it in the rapture.
Yeah.
A Kirk Cameron movie told them this.
Yeah.
He's actually appeasing Netanyahu, who famously said that 9/11 was good for Israel.
Yeah. Mm. And can we get over people who criticize, them calling people who criticize the government of Israel anti-Semitic?
First of all, the Knesset is full of anti-Semites, if that that's the case. It's a parliamentary democracy with lots of different opinions in there.
Yeah.
Secondly,
yeah.
The Arabs are Semitic people, too. So if you hate, you think Palestinians are the new Untermenschen, that makes you an anti-Semite.
Well, it's true. And also,
mention?
Yeah.
Okay.
This is the same mentality that we saw under the Bush administration, where if you criticized our civilian government during 2001 to 2009, mm-hmm. if you criticized the Bush administration's policies, you were anti-American.
Yep. Right.
And it's this is what the far right does. It equates their leadership with the nation itself. So if you can get called anti-Israel for criticizing policies of the civilian administration of Israel. If I criticize Netanyahu, I'm not anti-Israel. I got a problem with the government.
Right.
And it's the same. We had the same thing here.
You're in the Labor Party.
Yeah, this is the Hannity logic where you're not a patriot if you criticize Bush, but you are a patriot if you criticize Obama.
Right. Yeah, of course. It's only logical. But this is the same thing that's happening with the 1% versus the 99. The First Amendment to the Constitution is apparently no longer exists because everything is an unlawful assembly now.
Oh, exactly right, Jim. You're very true. And you know, it's so funny, when the founding fathers wrote that the people have a right to assemble, to petition the government for redress of grievances, mm-hmm. they didn't say, you know,
unless
except for all
hippie.
The except
right.
for all the zoning orders that they invent after the 60s that becomes inconvenient.
Right.
And all these are all zoning orders. And I've got to tell you, man, if our government policed Wall Street as well as we police park zoning laws,
exactly.
we wouldn't
yeah.
have a financial crisis to protest mm-hmm. right now.
Absolutely. And we're going to be talking to some apparently something happened in Phoenix last night at Occupy there. So we will talk to George in Phoenix when we come back. And we want to take your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12, that's 1-800-STEPH-12. It's Jim, Chris, and John, the Mooks in for Stephanie Miller. We'll be right back here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
What is this? What's going on?
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is a story.
Stephanie Miller.
Nasty dog.
Go.
Bring in the funk. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. It's Chris Lavoie and Jim Ward and John Fugelsang, the Mooks, filling in for Stephanie while she travels to South Florida for sexy liberal Fort Lauderdale.
A likely story.
Well, that's what she told us anyway. Let's hope she shows up down there. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it might just be Hal and John.
She's drunk in a gutter somewhere. I'm
listening right now.
Getting kicked off a plane.
Oh, yeah. She said she'd be listening on the way to the airport this morning, so she might be calling in a little bit later on. But give us a call, 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. We got George in Phoenix. Hey, George, how you doing?
Hey, good morning, Chris, Jim, John, Steph, if you're
good
listening.
Morning.
Well, at 12 o'clock last night, Phoenix Police Department came to occupy Phoenix, which was set up in the Cesar Chavez
right.
Memorial Park.
I know that place well.
And they declared that even though no one was sleeping, everyone was just, you know, at midnight, I mean, they were talking, they were, you know, mulling around,
mm-hmm.
that this was an illegal campground, and hence everyone is now under arrest.
Everyone's under arrest?
They arrested 10, they released 4, 6 were held. They took all the equipment, they took all the tents, they tore up everything, destroyed everything. They even took the trash. We had recycle bins set up, you know, for aluminum, plastic, cardboard.
Because you're dirty.
They even took that and destroyed it.
Oh.
Yeah.
Z Kyle, y'all.
Yeah.
Well, you know, they're setting it up pretty well. You know, I just heard recently that they want to do drug testing for
mm-hmm.
the unemployed.
Yeah.
Because the unemployed people are bad, so when we have to have them arrested, it'll be easier. Wasn't Goebbels that said if you say something, a lie, often enough it becomes the truth?
Yes. That's the big lie theory.
Mm-hmm. You know, that's, I think, what we've got going on right now. We keep telling people that the Occupy folks are dirty, they're
right.
non-American, they're criminal.
Right.
And then, well, it must be true if the police are acting this way.
Well, but George, do you think that now is the time for Occupy Wall Street and Occupy, you know, various cities to move away from just camping in a particular place and just keep spreading the idea out there?
I think it's time for Occupy occupy your local church. Mm-hmm. I think it's time to occupy the city hall. I think it's time to occupy every airplane that takes off from here to, you know, the end of next year. I think it's time for Occupy America to move out and reach to the world.
Well, what's happening now is they're occupying foreclosed houses. Keeping people from getting kicked out of their houses.
Yeah, which is a great idea.
Until the cops come and bust that up, too. And start,
But that engenders a lot more people to, you know, the 99% side.
Yep.
Guys, do you remember during the Tea Party deal where they were doing the Promise Keepers with the police and the military, you know, because they were all afraid that Obama was going to have the military lash out against, you know, these good Americans
right.
that were just expressing their well-deserved legal rights.
Yeah.
Isn't that exactly what they're doing to the Occupy folks now? And
of course.
Getting cheered for it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Any questions?
I'm worried about the militarization of the police, that it's turning into something that the police were not intended to be used for.
Yeah, and especially since a lot of police are on the Occupy side.
Mm-hmm. Especially since my mayor just called the police his own army.
Wow.
But I
got
to say, I've been to a lot of these. I've been to the Occupy movements in San Francisco, which, you know, just got horribly ripped down, and Oakland. I've been to Buffalo, which gets along great with the police.
Yeah.
Austin, generally, in many cities, you'd be amazed at how well the police get along. They just go, they watch. But, you know, you're right. These people are dirty. You know why? Because they weren't bused there in air-conditioned,
right.
Coke-funded splendor.
Exactly.
There aren't big stages erected for country stars to sing in front of giant plasma screens with flag and eagle imagery. This is what democracy smells like. People really are out there, and some of them really are poor people. And in most municipalities, cops have told poor people, and in the case of New York, convicts getting off the Rikers bus, go on down there to that camp. There's free food there.
Uh-huh,
so they're sort of making the problem that they're then trying to tear down.
Right.
And of course, the liberals and progressives and libertarians who are doing these camps, when they have homeless people come up, when they have convicts just off the bus come up and say, hey, can I get a bite to eat? What do you think they're going to say? No.
Right.
They are. They're taking care of them. So then you can turn around and say, there's homeless drug addicts and criminals at these camps. And Sean Hannity can get out a tarp. And we see exactly what happens.
Yeah. And might I say that I don't think the founding fathers smelled all that good either. I mean, they didn't have showers back then. I mean, come on.
Exactly. Wooden teeth don't smell that good either when there's no toothpaste invented yet.
Yeah. Or toothbrushes. I mean, what did they use for toothbrushes?
They didn't.
Yeah.
Yeah, didn't see the John Adams series?
No, I didn't see that.
The teeth got darker and darker the older they got.
Well, yeah.
Sparser and darker.
Yeah, they look more and more British.
Yeah, exactly.
All right, Ken in Cleveland has cut 17. Cut 17, Tony. Ken in Cleveland has a new bit for us. It's called Trumpster Dive. It's a promo for the debate between the sloth and the froth.
Because a baker's dozen demanded it. Trumpster Dive won. The sloth versus the froth. Newt Gingrich squares off with Rick Santorum in the GOP debate of the year, moderated by the Trumpster. At last, the record will be set straight. Our paper towels, napkins, our napkins, paper towels. Child labor. Google searches. Infidelity. A live demonstration of bestiality. Divorce papers served in hospital beds. Clearly and frankly, this is the debate of the century. Trumpster Dive 1. Toddlers will serve you drinks. Please tip your toddlers. One night only. Brought to you by Newsmax, Ion, and a bunch of other crap you've never heard of. Trumpster Dive 1. The sloth versus the froth.
It's gonna explode.
Those are the only two people that are gonna be in Trump's debate.
Assuming both of them show up.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, what does it say about A, Trump, and what does it say about B, Newsmax? What does it say about C, Ion?
They're all huge. Huge.
That nobody wants to show up at this thing.
You know what? They're going to keep it going, and at the last minute, what's going to happen is it's going to be a giant infomercial for Newt Gingrich, which is what it's designed to be in the first place.
Yeah.
Newsmax and listen, I don't know if you guys were lucky enough to watch the Fox News Huckabee-hosted summit the other night on Saturday.
No, uh-uh.
I was live tweeting it for Sulia.com, and it wasn't a debate. It was, you know, a candidates forum where three
right.
attorneys general interrogated, and they began the show with Gingrich. They gave him 30 minutes of primetime airplay, and then followed with Santorum, so everyone would flip away.
Oh, God.
Fox News has chosen their
wow.
candidate.
Yep.
This
yep.
is consistent.
I think Ian's going to cancel it and just run old episodes of Monk.
Yep.
No, they won't cancel it. This is going to be the new Gingrich show.
Yeah, and we'll be talking more about that when we come back. 1-800-STEPH-1-2. This is the Stephanie Miller Show with the Mooks.
Comeback.
Oh, God. Disco. This is not disco, Tony.
No.
We got Tony Sorrentino running the board for us here in Los Angeles. I'm Chris Lavoy. That is Jim Ward. John Fugelsang is in the New York Bureau. This is the Stephanie Miller Show with the Mooks in charge. Give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-1-2. That's 1-800-STEPH-1-2. And Shafe from the chat room and the live blog and everywhere else is giving us a call from Columbus. Shafe, how you doing?
Oh, I'm doing great, gentlemen. It's great to have the testosterone in the house today.
Yeah, we're doing manly stuff. Have a fight club later.
Hey, just wanted to take an opportunity, since you folks were talking about Occupy just a few minutes ago, that the fine family of radio or not Ustream entertainers, and you've been on just about every one of our shows now between Shano and Danielle and
yeah.
Kenny Pick, Ken in Cleveland as we know him on this venue.
Right.
Next Friday, starting at 7 p.m. with Ken's Turn Up the Night.
Right.
And running for an entire 24-hour period, we're doing what we call Occuthon 2011, and it's going to be a 24-hour nonstop marathon where we're going to be talking about the Occupy movements across the country. We're going to have guests on. We're going to bring in folks who can tell us about what they're doing with the Occupy movement. We're going to have opportunities to donate to various groups and charities within the Occupy movement, and we're going to be taking calls at different points throughout the broadcast. So we wanted to put the word out to everybody in the radio world that on the radio or not world, we're mm-hmm. going to be streaming this thing. So
and where can people see it and all that?
It is on the Ustream TV channel, Radio or Not.
Okay.
And so if you're on Ustream right now, instead of going to Stephanie Miller.
In addition to going to Stephanie Miller, go to Radio or Not.
Yeah. I'm saying right now, you're on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's right.
Tonight, we got Turn Up the Night. A week from tonight, it's the Occuthon. So just wanted to get that shout out to everybody. I know Shano and Danielle and Ken and Jacob Dean have been working on
right.
Guests and doing all kinds of great stuff. We got a website up for it, Occuthon.com, and check it out if you can.
Yeah, definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah, can't wait to check that out. Thank you so much, Shafe, and looking forward to it.
I want to point out to fans of radio or not.com that Nicole Sandler, of course, formerly the huge star of Air America and famous this year for being arrested
mm-hmm.
for using free speech at an Alan West event, will be introducing the show tomorrow night at the Parker Playhouse in Fort Lauderdale. She'll be joining us on stage, as well as our special surprise guest that I don't... Have we announced the special surprise
no,
guest?
No, we haven't.
Okay.
Yeah, Steph is a little skittish.
You guys are being teasy McTeasersons about that.
Yeah, I know. Well...
Let me say that it is someone that we've had on the show before.
Mm.
Yeah. So, you can go back to the chat room and play around with that if you want.
And I'm very excited about this person joining us. I have met this person before, and I'm very excited
yep.
this person will be joining us on stage.
Yep.
And I wish we could say who it was.
Yep, exactly. All right, Shafe, we're looking forward to it. It's ustream.tv/radio or not, correct?
I think there's a channel thing in there. But
oh.
if you go to ustream.tv and type in radio or not,
You'll get it, and that is tonight. Looking forward to it, Shafe.
All right, take care, guys.
Okay, talk to you later. All right, John Fugelsang. Rick Perry has been talking a lot about religion this week. It seems like he's taking a hard right turn and leaving a stench of desperation in his wake.
Hasn't he, though?
Yeah. I want to play for you the ad that came out. That we played it yesterday, but I want to play it again this morning. It's Rick Perry's latest ad in Iowa.
I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a Christian. But you don't need to be in the pew every Sunday to know that there's something wrong in this country when gays can serve openly in the military, but our kids can't openly celebrate Christmas or pray in school.
What?
As president, I'll end Obama's war on religion, and I'll fight against liberal attacks on our religious heritage. Faith made America strong. It can make her strong again.
And, of course, he was wearing the barn coat from Brokeback
Mountain.
From Brokeback Mountain.
It was fantastic.
It looked like it still had the tags on it.
Now, where can kids not pray in schools? I didn't get that memo.
Well, that's the funny thing is they can pray.
They can. They absolutely can pray.
As long as there are tests, there still will be prayer in school. But, of course, you know, Rick Perry's angry because we're too conservative for him because we support a separation of church and state and don't think there should be an official religion, which makes us the conservatives. So it's actually the conservative defense of religion, not his radical his radical attack on the Constitution.
Yeah. And,
by the way, there's nothing different in terms of prayer in school now than there was under George Bush.
Right.
And Dick Cheney is to the left of Barack Obama. Dick Cheney was supporting repeal of Don't Ask, Don't Tell long before Barack Obama was. So I want to hear about Dick Cheney's war on religion, Perry.
Exactly. But he won't bring that up, will he?
No, of course not. It's very desperate, and it's really sad, and he's just, this guy's going for broke, and, you know, he's got all this
going
money.
Going for broke could, back.
Yeah.
You see.
I wish I could quit. Line.
There was a third word. I can't remember.
But I don't know if you've seen the YouTube answer going around. This was put together by the folks at Second City. Let's hear the YouTube response to that.
I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm an atheist. But you know there's something wrong with this country when politicians think it's okay to hate on gays and non-believers in ads, as if their magic spirit guide, or whatever, blessed them with special a-hole privileges. Perhaps this is a good time to remember that gay and atheist presidents didn't get us into the war in Iraq, the financial crisis, or turn your mortgage into toilet paper. It took some God-fearing vagina penetrators to pull that off. Maybe we should let Christians do what they do best, praying, which clearly doesn't work, and leave the governing to sodomites and infidels. Rick Perry may believe in God, but I've seen his polls, and God does not believe in Rick Perry.
Oof.
I'm a godless heathen, and I approve this message.
I kind of like that, being a godless heathen myself.
Mm.
No?
No, I like it very much.
Okay.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's like, look, prayer is a complicated thing, and it's like, you know, you're not going to pray for the lottery numbers and get it, my God. But prayer helps a lot of people in a lot of ways.
Yeah, it does.
So it's just like meditation. I don't look down on anyone's personal religion, but when people get together in clubs, they tend to go crazy.
Yeah.
I'm a big fan of the gods, God and Jesus. Not a big fan of the guys in funny hats and dresses.
Exactly.
Trying to parody Rick Perry is kind of pointless stuff because it's already so absurd.
Well, here's a guy. There's no governor who's executed more people in American history. The previous record was held by Governor George W. Bush. Rick Perry has broken that record.
Right.
You will not find a more anti-death penalty figure in literature or in religion than Jesus. And I'd love to have a conservative call me up and challenge me on this because I'm pretty sure I'm right about it.
He was a victim of the death penalty.
Yeah, if there was no death penalty, Christ would still be here. From the Sermon on the Mount where he renounced as an eye for an eye, to the story of the adulteress, where he says, he among you without sin can cast the first stone, to where he says, forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us.
What a commie.
The guy was not into killing sinners.
No.
He was into
hippie.
Forgiving them. And so Rick Perry's form of Christianity, they need to find a new word for it, because Jesus' faith is already taken.
And a couple of days ago, he said that he follows all of the Ten Commandments. Really?
Really?
All of them, huh?
I want to see him name five of them. I want to see him have to name
let's see, there's another one.
I want all of them to do it. I want to see one of these candidate forums with some evangelicals and make them name as many as they can.
Thou shalt not, I got nothing.
Oops.
I mean, you know, it's like putting the Ten Commandments up in a courthouse where they administer the death penalty. It says thou shalt not kill. Oh, well, it's okay when the government does it.
Right.
Do you love these people who want smaller government but still think it's okay for the state to kill people and it's not murder if the state does it?
But
my God, it boggles the mind.
They'll point to an eye for an eye in the Bible.
Yeah, and that's great.
They love
that's
the
fantastic.
Old Testament.
Yes, they do.
Stop calling yourself a follower of Jesus. And leave him to us hippies and liberals and freaks. I swear to God, some of the best Christians I know are atheists.
Hmm.
Exactly.
Aw, thanks.
Right on.
Yeah. All right, Kevin in Asheville, North Carolina wants to talk about Perry. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, I think, we should be talking about Rick Perry's war on reason.
it seems to be something that's getting more and more blatant with this Christian right and talking about Christ and yet not following it. Just like you said with the commandments, I think if we stop coveting our neighbor's goods, our economy would completely collapse.
Exactly, our entire whole economic system depends on coveting our neighbor's goods.
They're right. And wasn't our country built on the principles of the Age of Enlightenment, which came after the Age of Faith?
Shut up!
You're not allowed to bring that up, Kevin.
Enlightenment. Sheesh. Tommy Plot.
Good conversation, guys.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah.
Thanks
Thomas
for calling,
Jefferson
Kevin.
Was Kenyan, by the way.
Thou shalt not covet thy wife's neighbor's ass. No, your neighbor's wife. Talking to you, Gingrich.
And might I point out that Thomas Jefferson owned a Koran.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Uh-huh. He did. And Thomas Jefferson, in his life, published a Bible where he took out all the miracles, mm-hmm. all that couldn't be proven. He published a New Testament back when cutting and pasting really meant something.
Right.
And he published it post-White House, the Gospel According to Christ, and it was Jesus' life and teachings without any magic tricks. And I love Jewish magicians. Houdini's my hero. But and I've always said, you don't need the miracles to follow the teachings of Jesus. And people want to believe in the magic tricks and ignore the teachings because they tend to be consistently leftist.
Yeah, you made the Statue of Liberty disappear. Big deal.
No, that was David Copperfield.
David Carradine.
David Carradine. Sorry, no. Rest in peace, David Carradine. I'm sorry. It's very
early. Snatched the pebble from my hand.
Yeah. All right, Dave in Chicago wants to talk about Perry. Hey, Dave.
I want to preface all this with I think Rick Perry is a little crazy and I would never vote for the guy.
Mm-hmm. But?
I do think that there's a little bit of subtlety in the ad that makes a valid point. When I heard the ad first, I heard it like last night driving home from school.
Right.
I didn't hear it as an attack on homosexuality because I think that what I saw happening in the ad is what he's saying is we repeal the law that now allows anyone who's homosexual, which is part of who they are, express themselves in the military. We're not stifling who they are.
Well, we let heterosexuals express who they are in the military. Why not homosexuals?
Well, I'm not saying we shouldn't. I'm completely okay with it.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm saying is he's making that parallel with the one, as far as religion in school goes, we're not letting kids express themselves. And hear me out. It was like 2 years ago, maybe a year ago, and then these examples happen all the time. There was a football team where everyone on the team, including the coach, wanted to have a small prayer before a game, and then school administration barred them from actually doing the prayer.
Wait, do you mean in the locker room or actually having it over the PA system and for the stands?
Right, because there's a difference.
No, like a circle on the field. And I don't remember what school it is. You could probably look it up online. But examples like that happen all the time. And
I'd like to see some data on that because I don't think that most reasonable people would have a problem with that at all. But you would understand that having the entire crowd stand for a prayer, which was done in my high school graduation,
mm-hmm.
You have a legitimate First Amendment issue there.
I agree that that's the problem, but that's not what I said.
Unless it's a private parochial school.
But this is in public schools.
Right.
Let's say there's a group of people in the school who, during one of their own events or something, wants to have their own prayer that they're not forcing anyone else to do. School administration, because they fear, like, the ACLU coming in and suing them, a lot of times you'll see them saying, no, you can't do that.
Well, sure, because if you're having an affi- well, sure, but if you understand why, and you understand why the ACL would do that, to protect the rights of non-believers.
Exactly.
And I say that as a
believer. Or Jewish people, or Muslims.
But you're not telling the Jewish kids in school, or the Muslim kids in school, or the atheist kids in school to sit up and pray.
No, you're excluding them. You're having an activity where they're being, where they're being publicly cast as the other. And where they're being excluded and where they're being set apart from the herd.
Not.
Yes.
Systematically, it is.
Yep.
No, but then you can argue that systematically letting homosexuals express themselves excludes heterosexuals from it.
That's equality.
No, that's including homosexuals or gay people in events.
Yeah, that's just not excluding.
Well, how are you excluding people who are of a different faith? They can absolutely do their own thing or choose not to do what you're doing. You're not excluding them. You're expressing yourself.
Of course you're excluding them because you're having a school function. You're having an official school function event that excludes them by definition, that sets them apart in a public setting.
Yeah, absolutely.
And so one could make the case, I wouldn't, but one could easily make the case that that's a stigmatizing and that they are being made examples and being set apart, and it can be humiliating or disturbing to a child.
Yep. And we thank you for your call. And we got some people on the line who want...
He makes a good point,
yeah,
but you know...
He does. And we got some people on the line who want to answer. And so we will take those calls when we come back. 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. It's the Mooks filling in for Stephanie on The Stephanie Miller Show.
See, that wasn't so bad, was it?
Ooh, I gotta say, that was fantastic.
It's The Stephanie Miller Show.
Stephanie Miller.
Yeah, this version of the song isn't my favorite. I like the sweets better.
All right, fellas, yeah. Let's go.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. This is Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, and John Fugel saying the Mooks filling in for Stephanie while she flies to Fort Lauderdale for the Sexy Liberal Show in Fort Lauderdale. And that show is tomorrow night. There are some tickets still available, and they opened up a whole row of VIP tickets that are still
very
available.
Very exciting. Yes, the Parker Playhouse has just released a full row of the VIP meet and greets, so you get to sit right up front to Mama, and you get to come and grope her and Hal all you want.
Yep.
Or if you're a damaged Catholic, you can come and share horror stories with me.
And she may even borrow your phone and tweet her hoo-ha.
Oh, yes, she just might.
They'll never wash it again.
And John Fugelsang, you just said something in my ear that we have a big announcement this morning. Is that correct?
I think we do. I think it's actually maybe it's a secret pre-announcement. And if I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, I apologize in advance. But it's on sale according to the website.
Mm-hmm.
Folks, we're coming back to New Mexico. We are coming to Albuquerque on the 31st of March.
Yeah.
And this is an unofficial announcement. There is no promo, but we're going to be at Joy Hall. It goes on sale this morning as of 8 a.m. Albuquerque time. So, folks, if you came to see us in Santa Fe, or if you miss us in Santa Fe, come see us in Albuquerque. I love Albuquerque. It's one of my favorite cities in the world.
Beautiful city.
So I've had some great, my favorite people in the world come from there, and I've done a lot of theater and festivals there, and I just can't wait to get back, and this is really huge. So the end of March, Albuquerque the 31st at the Pope Joy Playhouse. Come on down.
Coming back to New Mexico.
I'm so thrilled. We had such a great time with Aisha in Santa Fe last August. It was great. Two shows, our only matinee we've done.
Right.
No one else wants to. I'm the only one who wants to do matinees on this tour.
No.
Seniors are sexy liberals, too. They have a lot of night.
Yeah, did you offer enough blue plate specials?
We didn't actually offer enough blue plate. We did offer a hard candy you could unwrap at the door, though.
Oh, because kids love ribbon candy.
Yeah, like socks for Christmas.
Yeah, exactly.
Thanks, Grandma.
All right. During the last segment, we had a caller from Chicago who was upset that kids on football teams weren't being allowed to pray. And we have quite a few people who want to respond to that. Wanda in California is a teacher, and she's a Buddhist. Hey, Wanda. Wanda, are you there?
Maybe she's ascended.
No. Okay. Yeah.
That's emptiness.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, let's go to Tom in Madison. Tom, are you there?
Yeah, how you doing?
Good. What's your response to the caller we had?
Well, first I want to preface by saying that I'm a Christian, and I'm not one of those Christians who just, you know, claims to be a Christian like Rick Perry, but I'm involved in my church, I'm in the worship band, and I'm also an advocate for gay rights.
Mm-hmm.
I don't think they're mutually exclusive. And,
right on.
You know, I graduated in high school in 2004, so I'm not, you know, it wasn't 30 years ago, and I do recall being a member of the football team. You know, we prayed before and after every game as a team. Everyone was required to participate. And I do know there were several people on the team who were not Christians, you know, who came from other areas of the world who maybe felt uncomfortable with it, but were forced to do it. So I think that the issue that you raised is a very important one, and that is that, you know, anyone who really digs deep into the Bible and, you know, actually is reading God's teachings as opposed to using them for their own gains,
mm-hmm.
Leaves with a very, very simple message, and that is that, you know, Jesus came and he really accepted people where they were at. He didn't try and lift people to be what they weren't. You know, multiple times in the Bible, he saves those whom he, you know, he heals those whom he knows he cannot save.
Absolutely. And he encourages his followers to hate the people they've been programmed by society to hate, like the Samaritans.
Absolutely. Yeah. I think that the idea that those are the same thing is misguided, like many of the messaging we're hearing from these right wing nut jobs. You know, it's just getting old.
What's the same thing?
The same thing as in, you know, like gay rights is the same as people being able to you know, worship in school. I mean, it's silly to try and compare those two things as Rick Perry does in the ad.
Yeah.
You know, and at the end of the day, these guys are not Christians. You know, they're using this guise of spirituality as a way to trick ignorant voters into voting for them. And I'm just really sick of them, you know, getting to these people on, you know, these really emotional issues that at the end of the day are not impacting them in their lives whatsoever.
Right.
You know,
you're right.
They're driving us down a cliff, and I'm sick of it.
Yep, absolutely. And Rick Perry has been doing that quite a bit in the past week. It really just smacks of desperation. He's going for one particular segment, the evangelicals in Iowa, and he's going for them hard. And he knows that if he doesn't get them, he's going to lose. But I think he's going to lose anyway.
For all those followers of Christ who believe in preemptive war, executing sinners, that gays are lesser humans, and that the poor are lazy.
Yep.
And that Jesus wants you to give tax cuts to the wealthiest Nazarenes.
Exactly. All right, we've got two more hours of the testosterone-fueled Stephanie Miller Show left. So stay tuned. It is Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, John Fugelsang, the Mooks filling in for Stephanie. We'll be back next hour here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Stay tuned.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show, and this is not Stephanie Miller. I'm Chris Lavoie. We got Jim Ward in here, and John Fugelsang is in the New York Bureau. We are the Mooks, and we're filling in for Stephanie while she is jetting her way to Fort Lauderdale to perform at the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour in Fort Lauderdale tomorrow night. And John will be there as well.
I will.
Yes.
Great show.
Yes.
Yes. And you'll be there too, folks, if you call right now, because an extra row of VIP meet and greet tickets just went on sale.
Holy crap!
The Parker Playhouse has just released a whole spanking new row of tickets. And if they're really, really close up, so you can actually get some house sparks spittle on you if you act now.
And John Fugelsang spittle too.
And my spittle will be all over the place.
And Stephanie Miller's hoo ha too.
Plenty of that to go around for the entire crowd.
Exactly. So go to sexyliberal.com to find out how you can get those tickets that were just released this morning. And John Fugelsang, you were on the Joy Behar show a couple of nights ago. Is that correct?
Yes, my final appearance. I love doing Joy's show. To me, it's the only show where you can go on and talk both politics and silly pop culture at the same time, and I'm really going to miss her show.
Yeah, her show's going to be going away, but she had Rosie O'Donnell on last night, and I hear that you were mentioned.
I heard about this, but I haven't heard it.
So let's play that audio, Tony.
But can I say that you've done a great job, Bayer? I watch you every night. I think you're great, and you had this comedian on last night, or the night before, who was so handsome, and he's on the liberal tour with Stephanie Miller. I had never heard of
John Fugelsang. He's just the brilliant. He's very
funny. He is brilliant, yep. And he's so handsome. I love that guy.
I know. It'll turn you straight. They keep carrying on with that. We'll get you back in our team.
Yeah, you never know, honey. You never know. Now that I'm looking all fly, I could go the other side.
Handsome again, please. I beg of you.
Only one lesbian haircut per lifetime. That's how it is.
Wow, that's good enough to maybe make my manager return one of my calls.
Oh my God, that is so awesome.
That's pretty funny. Yeah, it's my first time hearing it. That's lovely.
I didn't mean to spring that on you. Sorry.
No. I got a lot of calls from my friends at CNN yesterday when that exchange happened, and I've never actually met Rosie. I've been at a party with her, and I passed her in a hallway a couple of times when I was an intern in college. She was doing a lot of stuff on VH1 at the time. And
that's right.
When I was a teenager, I used to walk by her sheepishly in the hallways.
And, of course, you were a VJ on VH1.
And then I was a VJ after she left VH1 and became a big star. Then they made VH1 for a while. For a brief shining period in the 90s, VH1 became music first. And
yes.
It was sort of like the home for MTV graduates. And that's when they brought me on. They brought me in to be like their clown, but I became their classic rock guy. And I did Rosie's show, Stand Up Spotlight, but I did it when Bobby Cox Collins was hosting, so I've never hung out with her before, so it's kind of funny.
Yeah, and
that's lovely. That's very nice. Yeah, she just thought I was K.D. Lang.
And she's familiar with the Sexy Liberal Show. How about
who
them
knew
apples?
About that? Yeah, so I think Stephanie's got a I smell special guest.
You know, we have a show coming up at the Pantages if Rosie is out here.
A record-breaking show at the Pantages, I might add. It's really great that we're putting tickets on sale already for 2012.
Right.
Because we did this tour this year thinking, hey, look, there's liberals all over America, right? And they're maybe afraid to have an Obama sticker on their car when they go to their job or their church. And there's people out there who love Jon Stewart and love Bill Maher, but they're not going to go to comedy clubs because comedy clubs can be toilets. So we wanted to bring, good progressive comedy. Instead, you got us. Mm-hmm. And so it's been, really great to see this tour do so well in an off year. But it's my hope that next year in 2012, when everyone cares about it, these shows are going to be real parties.
Exactly. Well, we've got the final show of the year, Sexy Liberal Fort Lauderdale, coming up this weekend, coming up tomorrow night. And then the first show of the year is coming up in Portland, Oregon.
Rose City, get ready, because this year's most popular comedy tour is coming to the Beaver State.
Nice beaver.
Thank you. I just had it stuffed.
The Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Show is blazing a trail to Portland, Oregon.
Will Portland, Oregon is...
Stephanie Miller.
That ain't love, then tell me what is the
Oregon.
From Beaver Face Cherry.
Beaver Cherry.
On January 7th, 2012, at the Newmark Theater, Stephanie Miller and her sexy liberal players will mercilessly mock Republicans to the max. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com or by calling the Portland Center for Performing Arts box office at 503-432-2917.
Better than anything we have back in Portland, Oregon.
It's the perfect complement to an ice-cold Bridgeport brew.
So come see us, why don't you?
Yeah, we're coming all over the place. We're coming down, really, your town's near you.
What? Makes a fine Christmas or Hanukkah gift.
Absolutely. Well, last hour we had a call from Chicago, and he was a little upset that some public school students weren't allowed to pray in locker rooms before football games. And we have some responses to that. Wanda, who is the teacher in the Buddhist, her cell phone dropped last hour, but she called back. And hey, Wanda in California, what's up?
Good morning, guys, and I'm really sorry for last time.
No
and
problem.
I'm the official Stephanie Miller Buddhist on the road.
Oh, you're all emptier than now.
Well, they caught me up in a rapture, and then they threw me back when they found out I was.
So that's what happened. All right.
Well, anyway.
Go ahead.
In responding to that gentleman's last call, he's right. Kids are not allowed to pray in public, at public school. Mm-hmm. And that's because we have to respect the rights of everybody.
Exactly.
For instance, we have two major holidays, Christmas and Easter, which we call them spring break and winter break.
Mm-hmm.
But they are all they surround the Christian holidays of
yes.
Christmas and Easter. And when kids come to our schools, and let's say they're Buddhist and they celebrate Tet or another Buddhist, part of their Buddhist religion, it's a hardship for them to even get time off.
Right.
There has to be a reason.
Even for Jewish kids, it's sometimes hard to get time off for the High Holy Days.
Yeah, or for instance, Ramadan. Ramadan is celebrated for a whole month, and, the kids can't eat during the day.
Right.
Yet we mm-hmm. don't give them any kind of special accommodation for that. But we have two major holidays that are Christian-oriented.
And you're right. And what's even more interesting is that it was Jesus himself in Matthew 6:5 who says, don't trust anybody who's praying in public looking to be seen. You want to pray to God, you go into your closet in private and talk to thy Father in private. Jesus tells you don't do public prayer. So you can, people can be upset that they're not allowed to do this all they want, but they're going against the actual teachings of Jesus.
Exactly. So
that's like being an Elvis fan and rejecting... go ahead.
So I understand this gentleman's point, but like I said, we're public schools. Public schools have to respect the rights of everybody.
That's right.
Period. And thank you very much for your time and for your patience.
All right. Well, thank you, Wanda. I think she makes some pretty good points.
She does.
Yeah.
And, you know, not to cut her off with my Jesus talk, but Jesus said, he said, don't pray in public. He, you know, go in the closet and pray in private. So if you're fighting to be able to pray in public at a school.
You're a hypocrite.
Well, you're like an Elvis fan yeah. campaigning against fried peanut butter banana sandwiches. You know what I mean?
All right. Dave in Columbus has something to say. He says kids are allowed to pray. Hey, Dave.
Yeah. Hi, Moose. Hi, Mr. Pugelsang.
Hi.
Actually, my understanding, I am not a religious attorney, a constitutional lawyer, anything like that. My understanding is kids are allowed to pray on their own in school. The problem is if a coach or teacher is involved, it makes it the coach and teacher are a agent of the state.
Of the state, yeah, the representative of the state, yeah.
Yeah, then it becomes state-led prayer. And if you think about a football team, the coach is in control of who's a starter, who gets what positions, so it becomes coercive. The student, being a student and, you know, the coach is in charge of them, then doesn't have a choice to refuse because they feel that they may be taken off the starting lineup if they don't pray.
Mm-hmm.
But if the kids want to meet up on their own in the end zone and have a prayer, three or four of them who happen to go to the same church or something like that,
sure.
they can.
Right.
It's when you involve the state, it's separation of church and state. Teachers, administration, coaches, those are all agents of the state.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the problem is.
Yep.
If the coach wants to pray, he needs to go do it on his own.
Exactly. He's being paid our tax dollars.
Yeah, absolutely. And
can I tell you the best comedy sketch I ever heard about this really quick?
It sure.
was for an improv group that I worked with years ago in Santa Monica, and they had a sketch where it was a high school graduation, and the principal announces that the students have a prayer they want to say, and they've picked it. They've unanimously chosen to do this prayer, and so now please stand for a prayer from the student body. And a female teacher stands up and goes, I think that's a problem with the separation of church and state. I object. And the principal freaks out and screams, you listen to me. These students unanimously chose it through democracy. They want to have a prayer. They're going to say their prayer. You sit down and shut up. This is America. Go ahead and say your prayer. And the little blonde girl gets up and goes, there is but one God, and Allah is his messenger. Shut up! Shut up!
Was that when Second City was in Santa Monica?
Yes, it was, actually, yes. That was with the Second City group.
Right. I remember that.
Yeah.
And that's all you need to know.
Right. And you know, and me as an atheist, I'm always respectful. If we're, you know, in a private event and people want to pray, I bow my head out of, you know, courtesy. For you know the people around me because I'm their guest. However, when it's at a public school, that's where I have the problem because of the agents of the state.
I agree with you. It's completely true. I don't want my tax dollars going for it because what kind of religion are we talking about? Are we talking about a faith community? Are we talking about we got a club and it's us and them?
Yep, absolutely.
I worship Thor, the god of thunder.
Oh. Well, then you haven't seen the movie yet.
I worship He-Man. I have the power by the power of Grayskull. All right, we're gonna take a break here on the Stephanie Miller Show. We'll be taking more of your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. It's the Mooks filling in for Stephanie on the Stephanie Miller Show. We'll be right back.
Do you like it?
It's brilliant.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
I said, are you gonna be my girl?
Tony Sorrentino picking out the music this
morning.
There's
more songs like that, Jet.
Yeah, well, Jet, where's Jet?
Back in Australia, I think.
Okay.
Yeah, back.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Right. This is Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, and John Fugelsang filling in for Stephanie. She's jetting her way to South Florida for the Sexy Liberal Comedy
Unless
Tour.
She's been kicked off like Alec Baldwin.
Ooh, yeah, because she's well, her girlfriend's gotten into Words with Friends.
Uh-oh.
So there may be an Alec Baldwin incident.
Alec Baldwin was kicked off an American Airlines flight for playing Words with Friends, but Stephen Baldwin was kicked off an L.A. Dash bus for playing Silent Glares with Strangers.
Well, I think Alec Baldwin was kind of being an ass from the reports I'm reading. You know,
you get hooked on that stuff. Look, every one of us knows what it is to hold your mobile device in your hand and hide it from the flight attendants so you can continue emailing and tweeting before the plane takes off. We've all been there.
I don't do that.
And the plane's never crashed.
Well, but you're disobeying the orders of the flight crew.
I know, because I'm a scofflaw.
You are.
I'm a rebel.
Oh, boy. You're one of those people.
This is what democracy tweets like.
All right. 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. We are taking your calls. Doug in Mesa, Arizona says that heathens deserve rights, too. Hey, Doug.
Hey, this is Doug. I'm the official progressive heathen of the Stephanie Miller Show.
And we needed one.
Word. Bless you.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you got for us?
I was listening to your show, and you guys were talking about Christmas, and, you know, you made a point about how, you know, Jewish people and Muslims and whatnot, they don't really get time off, and they don't really get the recognition that they really deserve during this time of year.
Mm-hmm.
And the funny thing is that we're the ones who invented this holiday.
Yeah, the heathens and the pagans, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. The old Norse heathens and whatnot, who I actually consider myself to be. And
Christmas was the Roman feast of the Roman god Mithra. And when they were trying to co-opt Jesus's operation, you know, much like the Southern conservative racists co-opted the Republican Party after Lincoln died, when they were trying to co-opt his operation to sell Christianity to the Romans, they just took their already feast day and made it Jesus's birthday.
Yep. Right.
Yeah.
They actually think he was born in June, which makes him a Gemini, which makes the whole temple freak out and make a little more sense.
And June in Bethlehem, oi.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. Well, actually, the whole 12 days of Christmas, and you know, the word Yule is actually the holiday that we celebrate, which is the celebration of, you know, the middle of or the end of winter, actually.
Right.
And
a Christmas tree was a pagan symbol as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was a symbol of everlasting life.
Right. Right. And all this was co-opted by the Christians in order to take away the pagan's power, if you will.
Now we have traditional Christmases of talking snowmen and radioactive deer noses.
Oh, I know. Don't you love that? It's kind of like Thor, right?
Yeah.
Like the movie, right?
Yeah, exactly. All right. Thanks for calling, Doug. We have Mary in New Mexico. She is pretty damn excited that Sexy Liberal's coming back to New Mexico.
I am so excited you're coming back.
Definitely. Were you in Santa Fe?
No, I was out of town. I had already made plans to be out of town when you announced the Santa Fe shows, and I was so disappointed because I really wanted to see Aisha and Stephanie and John. So I am so excited you are coming back to Albuquerque. And in fact, I already have my ticket.
What?
Oh, right on.
I'll be the really cute one in the front row in the orchestra. Let's see, 14 and 15.
Right on. And this is the Popejoy Theater, right?
That's right. And it's a really, I don't know if you've ever been to Popejoy, but they have great great performances there. And really, there isn't a bad seat in the house at Popejoy.
Sweet. That's what I've heard. I've done a lot of theater in Albuquerque, but I haven't been there. But I've had friends tell me that it's a wonderful space. And we've been fighting for this show for a long time, wanting to get back to New Mexico and play the Kirk. So I'm very thrilled about it.
The Kirk? Is that what you call it?
That's what I call Albuquerque.
Okay.
we like to say keep Kirky quirky.
There you go.
Nice.
Yeah.
The other thing is when you do your promo for the show, you have to put in Weird Al Yankovic song.
Which one?
Albuquerque.
Okay.
Where the towels are oh so fluffy.
I'll holler down the Shano in the dungeon and let him know that.
I'm looking forward to it, guys. Yep. So happy you're coming back.
Yep, looking forward to coming back to Albuquerque, Mary. Thanks for calling. We got Carla in California on Prayer Circles. Hey, Carla.
Hi, good morning. I was calling because, you know, I was listening to, well, first of all, I'm a school teacher here in Los Angeles, and I can say to Wanda that I have never taken any courses, and I'm considered a highly qualified teacher, that ever stated that children cannot pray in school.
Right.
They do tell us, though, that, you know, to be careful about that, and we talk about ethics, about different type of religions and so forth, but there's never been anything that was blatantly said or written in any of my textbooks that ever said that we just cannot pray in school. Now, with that, I'm a product of all the public schools, and I played sports for many years. I won't tell you when I graduated, but it's not that long ago. But there was always prayer after or before a game and in the locker rooms. When you were on track, of course, we were out on the field, so they took a little corner and we did prayers. And it wasn't until my senior year where, at that time I was very outspoken atheist at school.
Right.
One of my fellow teammates actually asked me to leave a prayer circle because she felt that
I guess I was messing up with their voodoo and vibe or whatever.
They asked you to leave a prayer circle?
Yes, she did. Of course, the coaches, again, the coaches do leave the room when they're going to pray.
Right.
Coach wasn't there, but actually had one of my fellow, we were on the team for many years together, but one time she asked me to actually leave the circle.
Well, that's rude.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I just shrugged my shoulders, and I laughed, and I thought about it, and I was like, okay, that was weird, but I didn't, go back to the school and say, well, they didn't allow me to pray, too, and I didn't talk about the fact that I was excluded for the team for that activity, but it did happen. I do remember that very clearly, and here I am several years after graduating, and I can still recall how I felt at
sure.
the time when I was excluded.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, we talk about the separation of church and state. You learned the definition of the difference between the separation of faith and clique.
Yeah, exactly. And just because you're Christian doesn't give you license to be an a-hole, I think,
Well, no, Christianity is not cover for douchebaggery.
No, absolutely not. 1-800-STEPH-12, that's 1-800-STEPH-12. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm Chris Lavoie. We've got Jim Ward and John Fugelsang. We are the Mooks filling in for Stephanie. We'll be right back here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Welcome to my underground lair.
Yeah, you don't hear too much Coolio in talk radio much anymore, do you? That's what we're doing. We're playing the hits. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. I am Chris Lavoie. That is Jim Ward. And that is John Fugelsang in the New York Bureau. We are the Mooks filling in for Stephanie while Stephanie jets off to Fort Lauderdale for the Sexy Liberal South Florida show tomorrow night. Tickets are still available. Go to sexyliberal.com to find out how to get tickets. And they just opened up a whole line of VIP tickets. So get those while they're still available.
Yes, you were very, very close.
Absolutely. And why don't we do Right Wing World here? Tony? All right. Jim,
what?
Why don't you do the intro for it?
Step right
there you go.
Get your Republican docking points. Get your peanut-sized brains. Your brain must be this tiny to go in this ride.
I'm surprised I remember that.
Well, you did it. We did that for about 4 years until we dropped it. But first up in Right Wing World, we got Tucker Carlson. He was on Sean Hannity last night, and he says Obama doesn't hate religion.
There's not a war on. They don't hate religion. They hate traditional Christianity. There are many religions, I think, the Obama people. Look, they try to force this abortion nonsense on Catholic hospitals. Contemptuous, clearly contemptuous of traditional Christian religious values. I don't think it's not a matter of hating all religions. It's a matter of despising the values attached to one very specific religion. And again, that's traditional Christianity.
He hates traditional Christianity. That's a bit of a leap.
Based on what? Where is he getting this stuff?
And
because he wished happy holidays to someone once?
Because he likes a menorah as well as a Christmas tree?
What a bastard!
Yeah.
Well, it's not traditional Christianity. Traditional Christianity means you follow the teachings of Jesus, not this splinter group that calls himself fundamentalist evangelical Christianity in America today. Right-wing Christianity is not traditional. If you're a traditional Christian, that means you care about the sick, you care about the poor, you care about people in prison. Mm-hmm. It means you follow Jesus, who, if you're going to be traditional and go by what the Bible says, was a peaceful, nonviolent revolutionary who hung out with lepers, hookers, and crooks, anti-wealth, anti-capitalism, anti-death penalty 100%, anti-public prayer, but never anti-gay, and he's a long-haired, brown-skinned, homeless Middle Eastern Jew who never fought for tax cuts for the wealthiest Nazarenes.
So being a right-wing Christian is oxymoronic.
Being a right-wing, yes, exactly. It's a you can't be a right-wing Christian. It's a complete oxymoron.
I love
that. And Jesus spent half the time overturning laws of the Old Testament. He was a good Jew, but he overturned plenty of laws of the Old Testament, from sexual harassment to death penalty.
And shrimp eating.
Well, he did point that out when the Pharisees came to him and said, hey, your guys are walking through the fields on the Sabbath, they're breaking the law. Jesus turned around and said, oh, yeah, do you guys kill your kids when they disobey? Because Leviticus commands you to. Mm-hmm. And he completely threw some of the crazy laws of the Old Testament in the face of the Pharisees while still being a good Jew and getting along with plenty of the Pharisees.
Here, have a pork and cheese sandwich with some shrimp poppers on the side.
Well, true, man. If you're going to believe Leviticus, because it says being gay is a sin in Leviticus, then you got to know that being gay is every bit as unholy as that shrimp cocktail you're shoving down your gullet. Mm-hmm. That shrimp cocktail, your little lobster bisque, it bans shellfish.
Oops, you spilled some cocktail sauce in your poly blend slacks.
Yes.
Exactly.
Two your kinds shrimp, of fabric. You bastard.
According to Leviticus, your shrimp cocktail and poly blend slacks are every bit as abominable as George Michael Knight at the Ramrod Bathhouse.
Hey, well, what about if you cut your hair on the sides above the temples?
Oh!
That doesn't specifically call for death, but yeah, you're not allowed to cut your hair at the temples or tattoo the flesh. Sorry, Marine Corps, no heaven for you.
Nope, not at all.
And again, this has nothing to do with the teachings of Christ. Right. These were the customs of an ancient nomadic Hebraic tribe. It has no bearing on how life is lived today.
Yep.
And their number one goal for the ancient Hebrews was keeping your numbers up. So when they talk about, going ahead and, in the case of the Onan story, impregnating your dead brother's wife, or not having sex with a guy, they're talking about keeping the numbers of the tribe as high as possible. It doesn't relate to how we live today, spiritually or practically.
Amen!
Holla!
All right, melting butter sculpture, Gretchen Carlson of Fox and Friends, she's up in arms about Christmas trees.
What is the debate? What's the debate? December 25th is Christmas. There's no debating that. I don't get it. That's just an easy way to try and push people aside and follow the PC mode that we have fallen into. And by the way, the governor defended the exact argument that the people against him are using. Yeah, back when you went to elementary school, we said the Lord's Prayer in school, and slowly but surely things have changed.
Oh.
Maybe Christmas won't be a federal holiday coming up if it continues down this path.
She needs to calm down. She's a bit shrieky there. Yikes. Christmas will continue to be a federal holiday. The yes. government celebrates the secular parts of Christmas. As do I.
Right.
I love setting up a Christmas tree.
You know,
absolutely, yeah. And again, you know, this war on Christmas is just a racket. Okay, this is about how the majority plays persecuted minority every mm-hmm. year around this time.
Yep.
And you know, Happy Holidays is actually a Christian thing. I did a commentary on this for Grit TV. I'll post it on my Facebook and Twitter today. But how. When you see Bill O'Reilly getting upset over people saying Happy Holidays and not Merry Christmas, that's an attempt on two levels. Number one, it's good capitalism. It's something called not alienating your non-Christian customers.
Right.
So these people who complain about Happy Holidays hate capitalism. Number two, when you're trying to be as open-hearted to people as possible, you don't want to be exclusionary, so you'll say Happy Holidays, so you're extending warmth and goodwill to people outside of your individual club.
Exactly.
That's all it is. It's being more Christian by being open to non-Christians.
Yeah.
So there you go. Happy holidays to the war on Christmas.
Yes, and you know what? Merry Christmas.
Yeah.
And Merry Christmas, too. And happy Kwanzaa.
Happy Hanukkah. Happy Shaka Khan. Whatever.
Whatever superstition works for you. God bless.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I having lived in a foreign country for a while, prayer in school not only it struck me as saluting a flag in class was very strange. In Germany, they'd had enough of saluting flags and oath-taking and what have you.
I can see why.
So the Pledge of Allegiance thing struck me as very, very odd, kind of indoctrination, having lived in Germany for a while. So,
The Pledge of Allegiance only became quite popular in the 50s when, you know, during the big Red Scare.
Well, the 50s is when they added the phrase under God to the Pledge of Allegiance, which never existed before. And let me say something that I get in trouble for a lot. In a free society, why do you make children do a loyalty oath, a mandatory loyalty oath in school? In a free society, you don't do that sort of thing.
I mean,
this is all Cold War propaganda.
As odious as forced prayer.
Well, I don't know that, you know, forcing kids to say the Pledge of Allegiance is the hill I want to die on. You know, I mean, if they do it, it's
go ahead and do it. I'm not going to go to the wall for it, but I will point out the let's be polite and call it irony of having people do a mandatory loyalty oath to their free country.
And
how do you pledge allegiance to a piece of fabric that was probably made in China?
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Yeah. All right. Ann Coulter was on a show on Logo called The A-List Dallas, and she was talking to one of the gay characters on this reality show, and here's what she said.
The gays have got to be pro-life. As soon as they find the gay gene, guess who the liberal yuppies are going to start aborting?
I have a chapter on this in Democrats Sanity Brains. They'd be Republicans called No Gay Left Behind. It's why all gays should be Republicans.
Huh?
She, right. She was saying that,
speaking
once,
of non-sequiturs,
yeah, once what? They, discover the gay gene, that, yuppies will start aborting
sure.
the gay babies.
Yeah, gay people, come join the party that stays in power by appealing to those who hate you. You know, that's it, man. If evangelicals ever wised up, they would start voting for the Right to Life Party, because the Republican establishment doesn't give a rat's ass about abortion.
Right.
They say they care about abortion to keep you mouth-breathing Christians showing up and supporting them, okay?
Exactly.
I don't mean to be condescending by saying that. If you are against abortion for moral reasons, God bless, you have every right to be. But if you keep thinking that you're going to vote Republican because you're against abortion, then you're a sucker, my friend, because they are laughing at you. The GOP controlled the White House, the House, and the Senate for 6 years. They could have defunded Planned Parenthood 20 times. They never did it.
Nope.
George Bush Sr. was pro-choice till the day Reagan asked him to be a running mate. Then he was suddenly pro-life. They're laughing at you, pro-life movement.
Yeah. I don't understand.
It's a recruitment tool.
Yeah.
It's not,
you're right, Jim.
Okay. I can understand, you know, if gays want to be Republican because of fiscal issues. You know, that's fine. However, the Republican Party has a specific plank in its platform that is against gay people.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand why gays would join a club that doesn't want them and fight against them. That just is beyond me.
No, it's like vegetarians for meat.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, they're probably going to bring back the pink triangles. Just
I don't know if they'd go that far.
But again, they would do it because the Republican Party is the servant of two masters. Okay. On the one hand, you've got your Wall Street golden calf worshippers, mm-hmm. your people who love mm-hmm. Reaganomics, and look how well it's worked out for all of us, trickle-down.
Right.
You know,
right.
You people who still believe that trickle-down worked, okay? That's half of it. And the other half are your evangelical Christians, who Nixon brilliantly was the one who realized we could unite these two, and the Republicans have been on a winning streak ever since.
Yep.
But you can't have this. You can't worship both money and God at the same time, and that's what the GOP's tried to do. It's an unholy alliance. It doesn't work. The Wall Street elites think these Christians are rubes, and the Christians don't really care about the crimes Wall Street's doing because they're not really aware of it. They're not exposed to it. Fox News isn't covering that kind of stuff.
Well, it's kind of like that gospel of prosperity, that weird...
Joel Osteen and the prosperity gospel. But it's all crazy. I mean, Jesus renounced wealth. You know, Christmas is when we buy material possessions to honor a guy who gave up material possessions. It's all crazy.
Yeah.
Jesus today would be I'm not saying he'd be a socialist. I'm saying if he came back and said exactly what he says in the Bible, he'd be called a socialist by the Christians.
Absolutely. Absolutely. All right, Rush Limbaugh. What? He calls Republicans idiots? What's this all about? Rush Limbaugh.
The Republicans decided this time to split the conservative vote in the primaries and have the moderate win. So, by definition, thanks to Rush Limbaugh, all these Republican candidates now are afraid of reaching out to mainstream voters. Mainstream voters believe in hoaxes. Mainstream voters believe the lies. And so we've got to appeal to the mainstream by telling them we believe the lies. And so, you go out and you tell a candidate to say, oh yeah, there's global warming, and you know what? I think humans are causing it. Right. Go out and try to take an issue away from Obama? You think you're going to get liberal, moderate votes? Simply by telling people, it's idiocy.
He's panicking.
Yeah, he's totally panicking.
Yeah, he is.
Because he knows Gingrich is going to be the nominee.
Yeah, and he's really upset that a moderate Republican might actually win the primary.
Mm-hmm. And he's actually supporting Gingrich, though. I mean, Fox News has made its choice. You know, they're getting behind this guy. And you know, look, on one level...
What if it's Mitt? What if it's Mittens?
Woof, woof.
Well, good for them. They're giving it up to the ideological purists, you know? And it's sort of like if the Democrats nominated Kucinich, the liberals would all be really, really happy, mm-hmm. and we'd never win the election.
That, you know what? Yeah. You're absolutely right there. And I know I'm going to get cards and letters for saying that, but...
Well, it's true. I love Dennis Kucinich.
I love him, too.
I'd vote for him, you know, and
Kucinich,
I would be proud.
Sanders, 2012. Yeah, but it's not going to happen.
Yeah, I don't think he's electable in a national presidential election.
Exactly.
Sorry.
We're not ready for it. The difference is Kucinich is 50 years in the future. Newt Gingrich is 50 years in the past.
Exactly. All right. We're going to take a break here. 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. We got a few more bites left in Right Wing World. We'll be playing those and taking your calls when we come back. 1-800-STEPH-12. It's the Stephanie Miller Show with the Mooks filling in.
See? We're having a nice time.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
In the back seat, the generous city, the babes in the back seat.
Stephanie Miller.
Yes, the Ramones!
I share a birthday with Joey Ramone.
Do you?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Also, Pol Pot, Ho Chi Minh, and Pete Townsend.
Oh, that's actually really cool, Jim.
Wow. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. This is not Stephanie Miller. This is Chris Lavoie. That is Jim Ward. John Finkelsang is in the New York Bureau. We are the Mooks filling in for Stephanie while she jets on down to South Florida for the Sexy Liberal Show tomorrow evening. And like we said, there's still some tickets available. So go to sexyliberal.com to find out how you can get the snack up.
I'm sorry. What?
those remaining tickets. We were in the middle of right-wing war.
Talking about Stephanie photographing her hoo-ha again.
Well, that is going to happen. And one of these days, one of those actual pictures is going to get out and go around the Twitterverse.
Yeah, well, at least she smiles for them.
That is true.
Anthony Weiner, what thou hath wrought.
Yeah. Oh, hashed.
Yeah. All right, we were in the middle of right-wing world. Michelle Malkin, noted anchor baby Michelle Malkin, was on Fox and Friends, and she thinks the White House is phoning it in.
Certainly there has been a culture at 1600 Pennsylvania of phoning it in. I mean, in some cases, literally phoning it in. I mean, usually on a lot of these holidays, what they'll do is have the White House photographer, Pete Souza, show Obama hard at work on that red phone, right, talking to whoever is actually back in Washington doing business.
Oof. Wow, she's unpleasant.
Yeah.
He's on the phone. Pictures of him. Oh, bastard. Uh-huh. Hate him. Gah.
Yeah. How many pictures of George W. Bush were we subjected to of him phoning it in? When presidents go on vacation, they don't actually go on vacation. They are working. They bring the White House with them. And the right wing is all up in arms about President Obama going to his home state of Hawaii for 17 days for a vacation.
And who holds the record for the most vacation days ever taken by a single president?
Was that George W. Bush or Ronald Reagan?
Ronald Reagan's in second place. Both of them spent over 1 year of their terms on the road.
Again. Yeah, yeah. So, phone that in, Michelle Malkin. Sean Hannity, he's upset that President Obama killed bin Laden and not George W. Bush.
The Time magazine, Occupy Wall Street, the biggest news story of 2011.
Where is Osama bin Laden? Barack Obama and getting Osama
thanks to
bin
George
Laden
Bush. The intelligence that George Bush built up, busting that porn king.
I can't believe
Osama bin Laden was huge. Yeah, but he was. That's the story of the year. You know, this is, you give credit to Bush, because if Obama had his way, we wouldn't have gotten bin Laden. You know that.
What?
Bush? What?
Bush canceled the bin Laden unit.
Yeah, he disbanded it.
He was the one who took us out of Tora Bora when they were on the verge of getting him.
And he's
Hang on a second,
Michael Scheuer up on us.
If letting bin Laden escape Tora Bora and invading the wrong country counts as getting him, Bush got him, okay?
Yeah. Well, he got him. He understood him very well, because they're very close to the bin Laden family, Bushes.
That's actually very true.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In fact, when we had...
But you know what that is? That's a bunch of Christians arguing why torture is a good thing. That's what you displayed there. They're saying, the policies Bush had in place, which means torture. Yeah. And it wasn't torture that got them there. It wasn't torture that got bin Laden's whereabouts. And I'll remind you also that the entire time, you know, when Bush was sending more and more weapons to the Musharraf, who was it? The liberals that were saying, this guy's a military dictator. Yeah. Pakistan's not really a democracy anymore. He's got a target on his own back. A lot of people think the ISI was behind the killing of Benazir Bhutto.
Oh, yeah.
And we were all called un-American haters.
Yeah.
And in reality, it turns out, we got a big problem with Pakistan. And George Bush made it a lot worse.
Yep, absolutely. Maria in Chicago hates right-wing world. Maria, what's up?
Hi, guys.
Hello.
How are you on this Friday?
Good morning.
Two very funny things I just wanted to mention really quickly. First of all, I have no idea how all of you listen to all of those clips and stay sane. I can barely manage. And I have the benefit of your comments afterward. I don't know how you do it. So much kudos to you for that. I'm very grateful.
Well, thank you. I'm the one who watches Fox News for 7 hours a day to get these clips. So.
I
know.
I'm hugging you over the phone.
Aw, thank you, Maria. Would you?
Tenderly. The other thing is on the heels of you mentioning Obama going on vacation to his home state of Hawaii.
Right.
Just a quick note. I took a flight from L.A. to Chicago once, and I had the misfortune of sitting in front of a woman who was so astoundingly stupid. She was talking to the guy next to her, and she had mentioned that she was flying from Hawaii to Chicago and layover in L.A., and she literally said, and I kid you not, I quote, "And you know what the great thing is? In Hawaii, they take our money. It's so easy.
Oh, no.
Yes,
that's fantastic.
And these are people who are voting. And I'll just...
was she surprised that she didn't have to bring her passport?
She had her passport. No, she had
Oh, she
passport.
Had the passport. Oh, my God.
Oh, wow.
Wow.
So I'm sorry to leave it on that depressing note.
Hey, Mario, you're a sexy liberal, right? You came to one of our shows.
I did indeed. I saw you guys in Detroit, and I laughed my tail off. It was absolutely fantastic. And I'm going to see you guys when you come again in Chicago.
Yes.
Ah, very nice.
Yes.
So come to Fort Lauderdale this weekend. Get in the plane right now.
It snowed today, so I think I will.
There you go. All right. Thanks for calling, Mario.
You guys are wonderful. I love you all.
Oh, we love you, Mark. Yeah. All right. Corinna in New Orleans says, wonders if the MOOCs will be naysayers in 2012. Hey, Corinna.
Hello. How are you?
Good. So you think we're going to be naysayers, huh?
Yes, I do, because I think you all were naysayers in 2010. And
about what? What specifically? How so?
About everything. You complained about everything.
Yes.
Specifically.
No,
let's hear a specific, because we all support the president. Yep. We all encourage people to get out and vote for the Democrats.
No. Let me tell you one thing. When you all were complaining about the public option, you complained about everything.
Okay, you've given us one specific so far.
Wait a minute. You even complained about not closing Gitmo, when actually it really wasn't him. You need to complain about the sorry Democrats who didn't want it closed either.
I agree with you. The real problem is the blue dogs are the real problem.
Exactly,
yes.
Exactly. So I want to make sure that I want to know how are you all going to help us get more progressive?
We are going to be doing our part, and I'm sorry, we have to take a break here. So we will answer your questions when we come back.
A break. It's because you're an Obama hater.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show with the MOOCs filling in. We'll be right back.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Stephanie Miller Show.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show, and this is not Stephanie Miller. This is the MOOCs. We have taken over the show, just filled the studio with testosterone. During the break, we had a fight club. I'm Chris Lavoie. That is Jim Ward. John Fugelsang is in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller International. We are the MOOCs filling in for Stephanie. She is flying to Florida today to take part in the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, Florida edition, Fort Lauderdale. And we still have tickets available. In fact, this morning, they opened up a whole big line of VIP tickets right near the front that are available now. So go to sexyliberal.com to find out how you can get those last-minute tickets. Let's see. This is going to be the final hurrah for this year for Sexy Liberal. The first show of next year is going to be in Portland. And then coming up later on in the year, we're coming back to Boston, people.
Yay! Patriots of Boston, leave your Puritan roots behind and join Stephanie Miller for an enticing evening of liberal debauchery. Because Stephanie and her sexy liberal players are coming back for a second helping of Beantown.
But I remember Boston, and that victory was as sweet as the cream pie for which the town was named.
On June 9th, 2012, the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour, a.k.a. The Big Gig, proudly returns to the Wilbur Theater, starring John Fugelsang, Hal Sparks, and progressive talk radio star Stephanie Miller. Tickets are available online at Ticketmaster.com, by calling Ticketmaster at 800-745-3000, or by going to the Wilbur Theater box office at 246 Tremont Street in Boston's historic theater district. That's the Stephanie Miller Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour on June 9th. It is sure to be both wicked and awesome.
Wicked hot.
Awesome! You guys are going back to all my old haunts. I used to live in Boston. I lived there for 2 years.
Really? I used to live in Boston
wicked
as well.
Pizza.
I went to BU for a summer, and I used to work for an NBC morning show that shot out of Boston. And I fell in love in Boston for the first time. It's one of my favorite cities in the world. And what a great place the Wilbur Theater is, too. It's the only place that's like a nightclub meets a theater vibe, and what an amazing crowd. I'm so thrilled to be going back there.
A nightclub? Is there a bar?
No, but there is a bar. There are bars everywhere, but there are like tables in the very front orchestra section. You actually sit at tables.
Oh, cool.
So it's like a theater. It seats
comedy club time kind of thing.
It was the only show we've had that's had anything close to a club vibe, and the audience was wild. It was really, unfortunately, there was an ad that went out saying the show started at 8 when we started at 7, so some folks, they only had to miss me. They didn't miss much, so we're coming back to get them.
And Charlie Pierce was there last time, our buddy Charlie Pierce.
Charlie Pierce was there. He came out and partied with us after the show, which was awesome.
Wicked pizza. All right. So if you're in Boston, go to sexyliberal.com to find out how you can get tickets to that show. And it's Christmas time, and we got the Newt Gingrich.
A listener's suggestion: version of A Christmas Carol starring Newt Gingrich.
Okay.
Reagan was dead to begin with. There's no doubt wherever about that. Frankly, old Reagan was as dead as a doornail. Reagan and I were partners. I'm his sole executor, frankly, sole administrator. I say, Mr. Scrooge, at this festive season of the year, it is more than usually desirable that we should make some slight provision for the poor, perhaps by extending unemployment benefits.
By humbug, frankly. Screw the poor. Are there no prisons? Are there no union workhouses? Though I'd prefer they were non-union workhouses, frankly. I'd say drug test all the lazy bastards and force them to clean toilets for rich people. That'll teach them. Oh, I'm bushed, frankly. Oppressing the poor and middle class is so exhausting. I'm going to bed. Oh, what's that sound? Sounds like someone dragging a heavy chain over the casks in the wine merchant's cellar, frankly, or maybe a bunch of guys waving their keys in front of microphones.
Will, boo.
I know him. It's Reagan's ghost. How now? What do you want with me, frankly?
Not much. Just stop being an a-hole. You don't believe in me. Why do you doubt your senses?
Yeah, because a little thing affects them, frankly. You might be an undigested bit of beef, a blot of mustard, a crumb of cheese, a fragment of an under and potato. I'm starving, frankly. Where's that can of cheese whiz? Oh, that's good.
Oh. Yeah. Geez, Newt, you gas bag. No wonder you're the size of a planet. Have a salad once in a while. Anywho, I'm here to warn you. You'll be haunted by three spirits.
I think I'd rather not, frankly.
It's all of your three wives.
Oh, crap.
Boo! You son of a bitch!
Oh, it's my first wife, Jackie Batley.
You sent me divorce papers while I was sick in the hospital, you hole! I'll rip your fat head off and down your neck!
Ow, frankly. Ow! 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 Who knew you had a frying pan? You could never really cook with a damn, frankly. Ow. Ow.
Boo! Let me at him!
Ow. My second wife, Marianne Ginther, who I screwed around with while still married to Jackie. Ow. Ow.
Yes, you're being visited by two wives of marriages past.
Ow. 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 No more. No more, Spirit of St. Ronnie. Show me no more. Why do you delight to torture me, frankly?
Because you're ruining the Republican brand, you big oaf. You're making us all look bad. One wife more.
Et tu, Callista? Ow, 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 ow. What did I do wrong?
Nothing yet, but you will. I'm here to show you horrors who have not yet happened, but who will the time before us. When you find your next Lucy, you're going to be peeing sitting down.
Ow, 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 ow. I've seen the light, frankly. Hallelujah. I will honor the 99% in my heart. God bless them, everyone, frankly. Do I get to be president now?
Will, no. Frankly, happy holidays, Newt. What a tool.
Ow. Ow.
Body fall. Whatever.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. That was from a listener's suggestion, right?
Yes.
All right.
He's visited by the ghosts of his three wives. Well, they're still alive. But, you know, technicality.
Well, yeah. But they're all still alive, aren't they?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, even the one who was in the hospital.
Yes.
Yes. Okay.
Yes. Jackie is. Yes, he did not deliver his wife new divorce papers on her deathbed.
Right.
That is not true.
Exactly.
She was just sick with cancer.
Yeah.
Yeah, she was just recovering from cancer surgery in the hospital.
Right, which makes it okay.
Yeah, that makes it fine. That was a great little piece, Jim, although I'm afraid that Newt is not likable enough to be a Dickensian villain.
That's true.
All right. Earlier, we played the new Rick Perry ad that's going around. I want to play that again for you.
I'm not ashamed to admit that I'm a Christian.
But you don't need to be in the pew every Sunday to know that there's something wrong in this country when gays can serve openly in the military, but our kids can't openly celebrate Christmas or what? Pray in school. As president, I'll end Obama's war on religion, and I'll fight against liberal attacks on our religious heritage.
Right.
Faith made America strong. It can make her strong again.
Yeah, he said wearing the barn coat from Brokeback Mountain.
Exactly.
The saddest thing about this is that Rick Perry will not get the nomination and therefore will never have to face any tough questions in a debate about that ad.
Yeah.
That ad is so full of lies and hatred and just rank dishonesty.
Yeah.
And he's never going to get asked any tough questions about it by any Republican media.
Exactly. Maureen and Natick wrote to me and said, I'm sorry, but anyone can pray in school or anywhere else they want at any time. Mm-hmm. Nobody can stop you. You are free to pray on your own at any time. What you cannot do is force or require anybody else to pray your prayers.
Exactly.
I'm sick of hearing about how kids cannot pray in school. They can. Thank you, Maureen. Great email. Let's go to Stephanie in Illinois. She wants to talk about Rick Perry. Stephanie, are you there?
To understand, if he followed the Ten Commandments, he's not a Christian. That would make him Jewish.
Yeah,
right. By Moses for the Jews. And if he would read his Bible, he would understand the reason Jesus refuted most of the things is because he took all of the law. And Christianity says, and he can read in Galatians, where it says that we're no longer under the Torah. We're no longer under the law. So Christians don't have to follow the Ten Commandments. And anyway, the Ten Commandments are just 10 of the 600 commandments that the book of Leviticus gave them. So if he's going to follow a few of those, he needs to follow the whole 600 and sacrifice animals and all the other stuff that goes along with it.
Yep, exactly. Mm-hmm. You go, Stephanie. Love that. All right, Jennifer in Delaware has a question for John Fugelsang about Rick Perry. Hey, Jennifer.
Hi, Luke. Hi, John.
Good morning.
Oh, I just wanted to say something really, really, really quick.
Okay.
I was listening to the lady you talked to a couple of minutes ago, and she said that you guys were naysayers. And I said, yeah, I used to think they were a little hypocritical, but the more I listened to John, the more I was kind of, like, drawn to him.
Mm-hmm. Like moth to flame.
Like a moth to flame. Very intelligent, very fascinating, really, really.
Thank you.
So I love you guys.
Well, here's what I just want to say to that really quick before you make your point, is that we are very, very loyal to what candidate Obama fought for and stood for. And candidate Obama never came out and endorsed a public option, but he did come out against a mandate, okay? And he did come out and say a public option was a good thing. So when we complain about the public option being dropped, it's because candidate Obama liked it and didn't like the mandate. President Obama gave us the opposite. And I like the health care plan. I think it's great. I think it's going to evolve into something even better over the years to come. But also, they said they could never do a public option because that would require having 51 votes, Chris. It's reconciliation in the Senate, which they wound up having to do anyway for the Affordable Care Act. So we kind of got the shaft twice on that. And again, that's us being loyal to what candidate Obama ran on. We support Obama 100%. We just aren't going to be blind ditto heads nodding at everything he says.
Yeah.
Please
yes,
continue
we
with your lovely
yes, we
comment.
Are.
I don't consider myself being blind. You did
not at all.
No, at
all.
I just,
no.
I think that things will come. I do.
This is what I like about liberals. Liberals are the ones who are capable of walking and chewing gum at the same time mentally. We can support Obama and yet still, you know, hold his feet to the fire on certain issues like you said we should.
He did say that. He actually did say that. I remember that.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Yep.
I believe
you
said be naysayers. I think you should be naysayers.
And
it'll piss Stephanie Miller off.
And Jennifer, you had a question about Rick Perry being a Dominionist?
Yes. And I've heard this quite a few times. Rick Perry, Michelle Bachmann, and recently I think I was listening to a podcast maybe a couple of days ago, and they said that Ron Paul was also a Dominionist. And I didn't listen to the whole podcast. It's kind of long.
Mm-hmm.
But it was a little disturbing, and I wanted to get your take on that, and I was wondering if that's something I should be worried about. They're definitely not for separation of church and state. I do understand that they definitely want that to be linked. And I don't know. Do you know anything about that?
John, do you know anything about
that? Can you repeat it? Because I got a little static here. I'm in the New York studio, and I didn't hear your full question. I apologize.
Oh, okay. Well, apparently, they would just like to totally abolish separation of church and state.
Well, yeah.
And
which means they're not conservatives.
Ex-
Exactly.
That's how you shut it down, love. You say right away, this is what the founding fathers wanted. They were Enlightenment thinkers. They were deists, but they weren't necessarily religious folk. And they didn't want to have a theocracy, just like we don't now. If you want a government that's conservative, religious, controlled, with no abortion or gay marriage, Iran is waiting for you.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So this is why we got to tell our conservative loved ones, I believe in a separation of church and state, and that makes me the conservative. You're the radical if you want to break it down and have a theocracy.
Absolutely. And we thank you for your call. We'll be back here on the Stephanie Miller Show, 1-800-STEPH-12. That's 1-800-STEPH-12. Taking your calls. I'm Chris. That's Jim. That's John. We're filling in for Stephanie here on the Stephanie Miller Show.
That's the smartest thing I've ever heard anyone say about anything.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Gary Newman with his hit Cars from 1979. And now, back to the countdown. This is the Stephanie Miller Show. We are not Stephanie Miller. We are Chris, Jim, and John Fugelsang. John is in the New York Bureau of Stephanie Miller International. And Stephanie is flying down to Florida, where John is going to be flying down to right after the show today. Is that correct?
Very excited, yes. We are playing the Parker Playhouse.
Yes.
In Fort Lauderdale. Very excited. And there are still some seats on sale. There's a few regular seats, and one row of VIP meet and greets was just released by the theater. We just found out this morning.
Yeah, so if you want to get groped by Hal Sparks, by all means, get the meet and grope VIP tickets.
Yes, you can go and grope Stephanie, you can grope Hal Sparks, you can talk about your traumatic Catholic upbringing to me. It's fun all the time.
Yeah, you always do have a crowd around you of
damaged Catholics.
Yeah, damaged Catholics.
Yeah,
after the hot show.
The hot people all go to Stephen Hal, and the people who can't afford a good therapist come and talk to me. So
yeah. All right,
we have some fun.
Right after the bottom of the hour break, we're going to be talking to Tina Dupuy, who is the managing editor of Crooks and Liars, and she is a hot dish.
I'll say,
if you will.
Can I make a very brief announcement?
Yeah, absolutely.
I want to just let everyone know that in the New York area that my off-Broadway solo show, which was a Drama League nominee a couple seasons ago, I lost to that hack Liev Schreiber. But my Drama League nominated solo show is coming back. We're going to be doing a tour next year, and we're going to be having our first date at the Queens Park Theater in Queens, New York City, on Saturday, January 28th. So I'm hoping that Steph will let me play some promos here. But it's called Guilt, a Love Story. It's a rebooted version. It's a bit updated from the show that I did previously.
All right.
And this is a one-man play about my family and my parents and my crazy upbringing and past, which includes me offering hot gay sex to David Duke on the Bill Maher Show. So
wow, did you really do that on Politically Incorrect?
Yes, I did. And this show covers that experience as well as when I was caught as a drug mule one time is covered as well in this show. So it's a comedy, drama, suspense, romance, and I haven't done it on stage in 2 years, so I'm very excited to be bringing it back for the new season, and that'll be at the Queens Park Theater. You can go to to my Facebook or Twitter for more intel on that.
Very cool. I hope you'll be bringing it to Los Angeles so I can take a look.
I certainly will. We played the Brentwood Theater a couple seasons ago, and we'll definitely bring it back to L.A. in 2012.
And by the way, I'm the one in charge of the promo, playing the promos, so yeah, you can play we'll play promos for you.
Hot. Very nice.
Okay. Shannon in Madison wants to talk about Christians. Shannon, hey.
I want to pay you a compliment, John. You've got the wryest sense of humor in talk radio.
Oh, my. Thank you.
But I'd have to say, like, at least 3 or 4 times during the show, I have to consult my dictionary.
Oh, well, that's sorry. I'm going to sniff more glue and try and bring it down as much as I can. I don't want to.
Very educational. You shouldn't change a thing. So, anyway, my message is a holiday message for everyone. I actually made a bumper sticker by vandalizing a couple other bumper stickers to put on my car to say, keep Christ in Christianity.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. People say, keep Christ in Christmas. I'm like, put him back in your religion first.
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. So, thanks. Happy holidays.
holidays.
All right. Well, happy holidays to you, Shannon. And I'm just reading something this morning. Apparently, Gretchen Carlson, melting butter sculpture, Gretchen Carlson.
mean.
Sorry. she was on Fox and Friends, of course, this morning. And she was wondering when the Christmas police are going to force her to take down her home decorations.
Well, if you insist. We weren't going to, but now.
So what you're saying is that she's actually a liberal.
I'm just saying she is so reactionary and hysterical. Nobody's going to force her to take down her home decorations.
It's the authoritarian personality. They see everything in those terms.
Yeah.
And
of course, you disagree with
me, sir. You're forcing me to agree with you.
Yeah.
And liberal fascist is an oxymoron,
exactly.
Like hot ice or jumbo shrimp or Kesha music. It doesn't exist. You cannot, buy a dictionary, you can't be liberal and fascist at the same time.
Exactly. All right. We're going to take a short break here, but we'll be back. Back with Tina Dupuy, managing editor of Crooks and Liars. She wants to talk about why the Republicans want to amend the Constitution so much. So we'll be talking to her when we get back. This is the Stephanie Miller Show, 1-800-STEP-12. We'll be right back.
Miller. Get lots of sleep. Tomorrow, we will all be risking our lives for freedom.
This is the Stephanie Miller Show.
Tomorrow's not good
South
for me.
South Park?
No. Yeah, it is.
That's South Park. I could tell. That was great.
And we are all risking our lives for freedom right here at the Stephanie Miller Show. I'm Chris Lavoie. That's Jim Ward. John Fugelsang is in the New York Bureau. We are filling in for Stephanie, who is flying off to Florida for the Sexy Liberal Comedy Tour in Fort Lauderdale tomorrow. There are tickets still available. Get them right now by going to sexyliberal.com. And right now we have... Well, we have a very special guest from Crooks and Liars.
Speaking of funny and smart, I want to bring on Tina Dupuy, managing editor of crooksandliars.com.
I'm a politician, which means I'm a crook and a liar.
Tina Dupuy is brilliant, she's funny, she's a terrific writer.
Tina does everything, and I just love her already.
And we love her already, too. Hey, good morning, Tina Dupuy.
Hello?
Oh, that would be me. I'm supposed to bring her up, you see. Hey, Tina, how are you?
I'm fantastic. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, thanks for coming on with us. And I have to say, your latest column that's at TinaDupuy.com, we've linked to it at StephanieMiller.com, you really do make a good point. It's called The GOP is Occupied with Amending the Constitution. And why do you say that, first of all?
Well, they love to talk about amending the Constitution. They want to, in order to amend the Constitution, you have to have a broad base of support. You have to have, supermajorities in both houses of Congress, and
right.
you have to have three-quarters of the state legislatures to
right.
To ratify it. Right.
Right. The Founding Fathers made it exceptionally hard to...
It is very, very difficult.
Right.
So it's their favorite go-to thing for, just whatever whim they have, whatever group of people they want to give fewer rights to that second, we should suddenly
mm-hmm.
amend the Constitution. In order to do that.
Yes.
So they're not really serious. And my favorite part of the, we called it a debate for some reason last week, but it was a forum,
yes.
a Slobberfest forum on Fox News.
Yeah, this was the Mike Huckabee forum, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It was watched by Tina Dupuy, me, and blood relatives of Rick Santorum. And that's the only people who watched it.
I think I saw some tweets by Joe My God, too. But
right,
okay.
right, there you go.
Yeah.
So my favorite part of this was like, this was fantastic, because they talked about the constant, I mean, it was like, if you would have basically died from an overdose had your drinking word been Constitution. So Rick Perry, because he's going to show how smart he is and how educated he really is on the subject, pulls out his copy from his breast pocket
mm-hmm.
of the Constitution, holds it up for the national audience, and it's upside down.
Oh,
yes.
Much like his campaign.
Kind of like an upside down pentagram.
Much like his understanding of the Constitution.
Yeah.
But the thing is, the guy didn't even read it enough to see that it was upside down.
Oops.
Yeah, talk about oops. Wow. Now, is it just to engender themselves with their base that they threaten to amend the Constitution all this all these times?
I think that it's one of those things where, like, they have two answers to every question. And one is we're going to leave it up to the states. The second one is if they do disagree with it, like things that are left up to the states, you know, like, you know, education. If they do disagree with it, then they say we need to amend the Constitution. So
exactly.
In that way, they sound like they're for really, really small government, but they basically have two answers for every question.
Mm-hmm. So what you're saying is they love the Constitution, but it's very flawed and needs to be amended.
Absolutely.
That doesn't sound very conservative to me.
Mm-hmm.
You know, nor is being against Obamacare, which was essentially created by the Heritage Foundation in 1989. But, you know, what do I know?
Right.
Well, and your piece really well points out that in order to amend the Constitution, you would need a two-thirds majority mm-hmm. in Congress, which they're never going to get. So
right.
They're just doing it like they wave the Bible around, just to get the base feeling like they're on their side.
Right. And they treat... Unfortunately, they're treating the Constitution as scripture, and as we know, we're not getting a newer Testament here.
Right.
But they do.
Well, that's what the Left Behind books are.
And the Left Behind movies with Kirk Cameron.
Mm. Oh yeah. Well, that would qualify as the new. Yeah.
Yeah.
You got it.
The Third Testament.
Now, what they're doing is basically symbolic. Do you think they would ever? When was the last time? An amendment to the Constitution got anywhere? Was it the ERA?
No.
The ERA didn't get anywhere.
Not anywhere.
Oh, okay.
I believe it's the, and I could be wrong on the exact date, but I believe that it's the 27th Amendment was ratified.
Right.
It was proposed in 1789, and I believe it was ratified somewhere around 1989. So it's not a very quick process.
Right. Exactly. So they're just trying to build consensus.
Right,
it was actually ratified
in
92, actually,
that's
Tina.
What Republicans do. Republicans always go for really popular things like, you know, taxing the rich, or getting money out of politics. You know, all the popular things, that's
yeah.
really what the Republicans are for. Rich people paying less tax or fewer taxes than working people. All these, like, broad basis support is always what, you know, the Republicans are championing.
Right. Do you think that we could ever get a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United? Or do we need one at this point?
Well, that's been the kind of buzz around the Occupy movement.
Right.
And the
See, that's a good amendment.
Right. Well, you know, and strangely enough, the Republicans have been able to preempt any serious discussion about amending the Constitution because that's all they do is talk about amending the Constitution, and they're never, ever serious about it.
Mm-hmm.
But the buzz around Occupy Wall Street is that this would be a solution to overturn Citizens United and be able to get money out of politics or at least make corporations not people, and that money not being free speech any longer,
mm-hmm.
Which is
mm-hmm.
they see as kind of the root of all this these issues that they are pointing out in their protests. The thing is, after Citizens United was decided, there was a poll taken in the wake of that about a month after, and you had broad support for it. You had 70% of Democrats saying that they were for overturning it, around 70% of independents, even 60% of Republicans thought that that should be passed and there should be an amendment
you're right.
To make that illegal.
Yeah, that sounds like almost two-thirds of Americans
exactly.
want...
Exactly.
Yes.
Well, and it's also worth pointing out that Rick Perry has been campaigning saying he wants to repeal the 17th Amendment, which allows people to pick their own senators. He's counting on you being too
right.
dumb to know what the 17th Amendment is, so when he says that, we got to repeal that 17th Amendment, and his crowds of Yahoo homeschooled people cheer, y'all got to know he's talking about you don't
yeah.
get to pick your own senators anymore, going back to the aristocracy our founding fathers put in place that we've evolved past.
Right.
So
yeah,
keep that in mind. They don't
if it gives people fewer rights, they are for it.
Right.
Yeah.
Tina Dupuy.
Corporations, more rights, people, fewer rights, Republicans
right.
for it.
Tina Dupuy of Crooks and Liars is on with us now. Now, do you think that these Republican candidates think that they can get a constitutional amendment passed, or do
Absolutely
they realize
not.
That they're not going to be able to, and it's just a
That's
campaign talking point?
Yeah.
No, it's like talking smack about Mike Tyson, you know? It's like, you're really never going to get in the ring with this dude. It's never going to happen.
Like Jacob.
You can, like, flame him on Twitter, you know, and know that he'll never find your house.
Right. Yeah, he's too stupid to come up with an IP address, too, I think.
There you go.
Yeah, so it's all just big talk for them. That's even Rick Perry.
It's their go-to non-solution.
Yeah, yeah.
They never have to talk about actual policy issues. If they just say, well, we should just amend the Constitution, then they never have to, like, have any follow-up questions to that.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Well, it's
exactly.
Like their stance against abortion. They're never, ever going to overturn Roe v. Wade.
And never,
it's,
ever.
It's a campaign talking point for them. It's
and it riles up the base.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. Look, if they ever got rid of abortion, if they ever got rid of gay marriage, if they ever got rid of medicinal marijuana, if they ever got rid of illegal immigrants, they would never be able to raise funds again. The GOP needs mm-hmm. to scream about this stuff, because all y'all who live in the South know this, and if you have Republican parents or you ever see the mail, you know, my folks lived down South for the past 15 years or so. The amount of mail they get, because they're Catholics and they go to church every week, they get every Republican mailing list. And all this is shaking people down. Man, they had right. 6 years controlling the White House and both houses of Congress. They did nothing about illegal immigration or about abortion or about medical marijuana. They just use it to get the base to open up their pocketbooks. That's it.
Exactly. No, it's one of those wedge issues that gets people in the voting booth so that they can do what they really want to do, which is to give corporations more rights and to give rich people more money. Mm-hmm. And that's what they've been using. It's almost like a smokescreen. Like, here's something shiny. Ooh, look, abortion. And then, you know, all of a sudden there's, you know, I think it's the top 400 Americans own more than the lower 150 million.
Yeah, that's how they get them to vote against their
abortion, and
right.
that's because of all these wedge issues that it makes people distracted, and then suddenly, and they're worried about the wrong thing, and it's a, you know, I mean, it's a three-card Monty trick.
Oh God, and the Republicans, the electorate seems to fall for it, unfortunately.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah, rich people pay Fox people to make middle class people blame poor people. That's why Wall Street rips us off, and you're mad about Acorn.
People who hate people.
Schmuckiest people in the world.
Tina Dupuy, thank you for joining us this morning. You can read her columns at tinadupuy.com, and she is the managing editor of crooksandliars.com. Thanks for joining us, Tina.
You guys are always a blast.
All right.
Talk to you later.
All right. Talk to you later. And we're going to be taking a break here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Give us a call at 1-800-STEPH-12. It's the final segment of the show, so anything can happen. We'll take anything that you want to talk about. 1-800-STEPH-12. It's the Stephanie Miller Show.
It's fun for ages 8 to 80. Join us.
It's the Stephanie Miller Show. Stephanie Miller.
Everybody was kung fu fighting. Those cats were fast as lightning. In fact, it was a little bit frightening. But they did it with expert timing. Oh, yeah.
Just to go along with the Fight Club atmosphere that we have in here with all the testosterone flying around. Jim, you better clean the blood off the walls.
For most of us, I consider holidays with a family to be Fight Club. And the first rule of family Fight Club, we're not fighting, we're discussing!
This is the Stephanie Miller Show. This is not Stephanie Miller, of course. Chris Lavoie, Jim Ward, and John Fugelsang is in the New York Bureau for the final segment of the Stephanie Miller Show. We're taking your calls at 1-800-STEPH-12. Most of them want to talk about Christmas and Christians.
Yeah.
Which is something we've been talking about all morning, especially apropos since we have the ecclesiastical MOOC, John Fugelsang, here.
And
with
I'm
us.
posting right now on my Twitter my commentary on why Happy Holidays is more Christian than Merry Christmas.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm.
Yep.
Well, Brian in Chicago says that Happy Holidays is just being lazy. Hey, Brian.
Yeah, I just wanted to point out, you know, you can still say Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year and also say Happy Holidays. Same
yeah.
thing.
Yeah. It's all about intention, right? It's goodwill. If you have love in your heart and you're saying Happy Holidays because you think there might be a Jew or an atheist in the room, that's much more pure of intention than assuming everybody belongs to your club.
Exactly.
There's a restaurant in Burbank that I go to periodically, and around Christmas, they're very aggressive with their Christmas decorations, and we say Merry Christmas here on signs. It's like, okay,
all right, okay, so you're excluding,
good for you.
Excluding out,
yeah, good. We Jews go to Denny's now.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
right.
See ya.
Not smart capitalism, people.
Nope,
wake
not.
Up.
It's
what do you want to be? Come on.
Exactly. Let's see. We have Grant in Tulsa, Oklahoma. Christmas is all about the Benjamins, Grant.
Well, yeah, you know, sorry about the noise in here, but I got to be somewhere, first of all.
Okay, go ahead.
You're awesome. Someone,
yeah, I'm on the job. Someone's waiting to see me. You know, I'm taking care of my kids' kids. My girls aren't doing very well. They're grown-ups, you know, and it's not a particularly happy time for me because it just really comes down to what am I going to end up doing for them. You know,
right.
My wife and I, and we do for them all year. You know, we're the ones that buy the clothes, school supplies, and pay the fee for them to play football and baseball and all that kind of stuff. And it's what are you going to do for me? And, you know, the very same kids are the ones that I can't even get to mow my lawn when I'm gone in the summer. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I want you to read past what my words are saying. You know, it's just hard. And,
yeah.
You know, it's sort of like, you know, you're going to celebrate the birth of Jesus and people, and it's not just my family. It's just like, who? Oh, yeah. Oh,
exactly.
Yeah. That's right.
I'm kind of losing the meaning for the holiday.
That's right.
Exactly.
It doesn't have anything to do with going down to Walmart and buying stuff from a communist country,
right.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion.
Yeah.
You're very right.
Yep.
You know, and I have to haul that crap on top of it, and I find it really offensive when so many of my fellow Americans used to make the stuff. I've been out here 25 years, and I remember when Hasbro and Mattel and all that stuff were made here in America.
Yeah.
And I'm just using them as an example. And now nothing is made here, you know.
Yep.
And,
you're exactly right.
It's offensive.
Yep.
It's really offensive.
Yeah.
Do you try to buy American-made goods when you can as Christmas gifts, sir?
Yeah, if you can find them.
Yeah, it's hard to, though.
It's really hard. It's really hard.
It's hard to find something that's completely made in America. You know, it may be assembled in America, but
well, that's why I say, you know what? You know
elsewhere.
What? Local artisans. You know, I mean, find the local artist communities in your town and go buy cool stuff for your friends there. Yep. But when you can buy American and keep that money in your community, y'all got to know that when you give your money away to the mega stores, it's not staying in your community.
Right.
It's going to a global headquarters somewhere else, and that money is not going to recirculate back through your town.
Yep, exactly. I feel like we need Linus to come out on the stage and say, lights, please.
Well, I wish that caller the best. The holidays are a very, very hard time for people, and it is especially easy to forget, you know, the meaning of it. And, mm-hmm. and if you not to get all preachy, but Jesus is the Prince of Peace and the Prince of Love and acceptance and forgiveness and tolerance. And this is a time when we, you know, you're supposed to be grateful for this presence entering the world and have it enter your hearts. Jesus was a guy who renounced possessions. So you got the 1% that looted your treasury, owns the politicians who give them tax cuts, and they want you to go spend your money, what you have left of it, in their megastores so it'll never recirculate back into your communities to buy foreign-made crap to celebrate the birthday of a guy who renounced material possessions.
Yeah.
It's all crazy.
Yep.
You know what? If you don't have the money, make gifts for your people. It's about the love you give them. And if it's just about crass materialism, you know, keeping Christ in Christmas, but put him back in your religion and get him out of capitalism.
Exactly. Mm. Tony in San Diego wants to know where the compassion is for immigrants on behalf of Christians. Hey, Tony.
Hey, you know, by the way, it's a great show, you guys. I love Testosterone Day. you know, I live in an area that's surrounded by fundamentalists. I'm like the lone blue dot in the Red Sea. It's horrible.
Mm-hmm.
And I watched this whole discussion go down on Facebook about immigration. We're so close to the border in Mexico that there's all these so-called fundamentalists that go to church and believe in Christianity, and they want to send these illegal parents back to Mexico. But
yep.
The kids who were born here, leave them here. 8-year-old children, 10-year-old children, they're supposed to be taken care of by the state now all of a sudden. And I just want to go poke them all in the eye and go, where's your humanity? Why would you? These are human beings. And if I were in Mexico and poor and I had a chance to break the law, supposedly, and go to the United States, I'd totally do it.
Yeah.
And it just drives me nuts because they're so hypocritical. And they're all stinking Republicans, and it drives me crazy. And I have to move, but I can't afford it.
You know what? You know what you tell them? Exodus 22. You must not mistreat or oppress foreigners in any way. Remember, you yourselves were once foreigners in the land of Egypt. Bing.
Hey, I'm going to use that.
Exodus 22:21. Exodus 22:21. Don't forget the Good Samaritan paid. The Good Samaritan paid out of pocket for an unknown immigrant's health care.
Yeah, there you go. All right, Steve in Chicago says that the Republicans are hypocrites on prayers versus unions. Hey, Steve.
Well, just like Republican politicians tell us that the government, themselves, are the problem. The people who are complaining about prayer in school, in my opinion, are the same people who are trying to do away with teachers' unions and the Department of Education.
Yep.
So what does it matter to them? They don't want the institution to be there in the first place.
Yeah, yeah.
Dumb people
are exactly
easy
right.
to control.
Well,
but also they want a theocracy. They want you to go to private Christian schools where you can learn that evolution was a myth and they can keep you in your cocoon and keep you away from an evolving world.
Mm-hmm.
They really have no capacity to acknowledge people around them. It's just them in their bubble.
Yeah, but you know what? But it's no different. You can't fight progress. China's going to find this out. China squelches the internet. You can't keep people in the dark forever.
Well, we'll see.
Yeah, hopefully.
We will.
All right. Thanks for your call. Chris in Syracuse is on with us. Hey, Chris.
Hey, what's going on? You know, my thought on it, I guess, is that, you know, mandating that someone can't pray in school is almost as bad as mandating that they have to pray. I think maybe a better solution would be as a team, if people just want to observe a moment of silence before a game, just as a group effort, as a unifying thing.
Yeah.
And
kids can do that now.
Whatever you want to, you know.
Yeah. Moment of silence.
I mean,
we're not waving our club
God
in your face.
Or Allah or whatever. But my last point is something that Tina Dupuy was talking about. You know, I think it's funny that the GOP just wants to amend the Constitution when they want to eliminate government. I mean, what's the point of having a Constitution if there is no government to enforce it?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right. Thanks for your call, Chris. Well, John, we're about out of time here on the Stephanie Miller Show. Yeah, that kind of went by fast, huh?
It's been a real pleasure being on with you guys.
Yeah, thanks for joining us, John. And you're about ready to go down to Fort Lauderdale right now. So break a leg. Have a great show. Say hi to Stephanie for us.
Thanks. A few meet and greet tickets are still on sale. Yep. So call the Parker Playhouse or go to sexyliberal.com. Thank you, Chris.
Absolutely. And Stephanie will be back with us on Monday. These are the MOOCs filling in for Stephanie on the Stephanie Miller Show. Thanks for a great show. We'll see you on Monday.
Adios.